I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin.
And we're gay.
And his NB.
Episode number 104. Thank you all so much for listening to another episode of A Gay and His NB, the podcast where we talk all the things that we're watching on television this week. We have a fantastic episode in store for you if you are loving the Vanderpump universe. But before we get into any of that, we have a few housekeeping notes to get out of the way first.
Wherever it is that you are listening to us, whether that is Apple Podcasts or Spotify or one of the other lovely podcast platforms out there, if you can do us a little bitty favor, you know, just a little, nothing big. If you can just, you know, go on there and leave us a rating and review, you know, just so that we can get into the algorithm. You know, we want to find more listeners like you. And we also want to hear from you, right? We want to hear what you love, what maybe you don't love. And Eamon's cracking up over there.
Sorry, I'm lying.
we want to hear what you want to hear from us in the future.
You can also follow us on social media across platforms, all at A Gay and His NB. That's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, where we're posting new content every day, including clips from the podcast, some of our instant thoughts about the things that we're watching. We love getting to communicate with you guys directly, so it's a great place to sort of get an extra dose of us and get that open communication. Like I mentioned, that is all at A Gay and His NB across platforms.
And if you'd like to grab some of our lovely merch that we have, because we are but poor little gays from Pittsburgh, if you could scrape a couple coins together and head over to againisnb.threadless.com, we have 10 different designs on there that you can get on a wide variety of products, including 3 Pride-specific designs. And as I keep saying, we are coming up on Pride Month, just over a month away till Pride Month. So you want to make sure that you are getting that your new Pride looks together for your you know, circuit parties or your Pride parades or whatever you are going to be participating in during Pride Month. So that's againisnb.threadless.
And last but not least, if you have any questions for us you would like us to answer on a future episode of the podcast, you can be sure to submit that to us across social media platforms that I mentioned or at againisnb@gmail.com. Just be sure in that to leave your name, leave your question, and who knows, we may answer it on a future episode of the podcast. Babe, what do we have on store for this 104th episode of A Gay and His NB?
Like you said, this is Vanderpump centric. We've got 3 different Vanderpump shows on the air right now, and we're covering them every week. We're going to be talking about Vanderpump Rules. Jax comes back for some god awful reason.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about it. I didn't honestly hate it.
Honestly, look, Jax is a villain most of the time, but he knows reality TV.
Yeah,
and he's good at it. He's good at being on reality TV. He's a bone carrier. He's a messy little bitch, and we love it. We're also going to be talking about The Valley that also has Jax, but he wasn't being the bone carrier on the Valley.
No, that's Kristen's job.
No, that's Kristen's job. He knows his place on this cast.
Wow, what an episode of The Valley. This was... like,
explosive.
Very, to put it lightly. I'm so excited to talk about it.
Like... Kristen re-solidified herself as my favorite person in reality TV. Like, it's just, it's so good. It's so good. But before we get to any of that, let's watch the dumpster fire called Vanderpump Villa.
Vanderpump Villa for this week. Guys, Merlin, I'm shocked that Girls Alliance just didn't hold up. who could have predicted? Like, I hate it. And like... you know, we talk, I mean, it happens across, you know, reality shows, but here I thought it was entertaining in parts, but also like I was very disappointed in certain people, and we'll get to it. Like, oh man. We pick up the episode, Hannah and Gabriella and some of the other girls are talking about Gabriella kissing Dan, that we left the episode on, and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe you made out with him. Gabriella goes, it's not like I'm going to fuck the guy. Like, you know, he's a guest. He's going to be leaving soon, whatever. Telly in her confessional. And I got to say, very disappointed with Telly this episode.
Yeah.
I was shocked with how much I just like did not like Telly this episode.
Yeah. This was weird.
She says her confessional, I think it's very fucking weird. I'm always, you know, pick number one. How the fuck is it the flex being the third pick? Basically, like, why is Gabriella bragging when that he flirted with Hannah, he flirted with me, and you were, like, third? Okay, but neither time with you or Hannah did it work. Like, you guys had no chemistry.
Right. Actually, I'd like to turn this around. Why are you normally, you know, first pick or second pick or whatever, but neither of y'all made the cut?
Right.
Gabriella did. So, jealous much?
Well, that we said it last week. Hannah really presented it as if, like, yeah, I'm just not feeling Dan, so I'm not gonna, you know. Like she was making the choice, right? Like,
clearly Dan wasn't feeling her.
Yeah, so... 'Cause
she, let's be clear, she left her charm in the workers' quarters.
Yeah.
'Cause what are we doing? Like, that conversation between Hannah and Dan at the bar was so wooden.
Mm-hmm.
Why did she expect anything more from him?
I am just going to say it. This episode is really just an indictment of these women are jealous of Gabriella. I really believe so. And I actually really like Gabriella. Like, I actually think she's very she has a very strong personality in a good way.
Yep.
Like, she's very beautiful. I think she's charming as fuck. And I think there's substance to her that I think some of the other women are very intimidated by. And I don't like saying that.
Yeah.
But, like, it just comes across here.
Well, it's so interesting to see the different toxicity between the genders on this show. Like, not in general, but on this cast, right? I'm not talking about women in general or this, because women are not a monolith. And neither are men, right? But, like, it's interesting to see the toxicity of the men is very much outwardly projected out onto the women and onto the guests and onto all these other outward forces.
Yeah.
As opposed to, there's a lot of infighting among the women. Like, they're not taking it out on the guests. Like, if you remember when the whole thing with Marciano kissing
Gail,
the guest from the last round of guests, she was like, Hannah was like, well, I'm not going to take it out on Gail. It's not Gail's fault. Gail's not the person that caused this. It's Marciano. It's like, so she's not taking it out outwardly, but, like, it's very much like an inner thing amongst the workers. And I just found that the difference in toxicity flavors, we'll put it that way.
Yeah. Gabriella says in her confessional, I feel like it was a good kiss, but now I'm thinking about it, I do regret it, surprisingly. Normally I don't have regrets, because now I have to tell Andre and have that conversation. And you were like, why? like here, okay, Andre was also annoying me the fuck a lot this episode.
She doesn't owe him shit.
I don't think she does either.
They were flirting.
So what?
It's so weird, because this is the same issue that came up on Martha's Vineyard, right? Mm-hmm. Between Alex and Noelle. But Noelle's, like, aware that this is a toxic trait of hers, and she very much tries to counteract it.
Yeah.
As opposed to Andre, for some reason, and honestly to a certain degree, so does Gabrielle, thinks that Andre has an ownership over her.
Yeah.
To a certain degree, because there was flirtation. And it's just, why? You don't owe him anything, girl.
Yeah.
Like, go live your life.
She sits him down to have, like, a conversation and say that she kissed Dan. He says in his confessional, I might be a little disappointed in her.
Why?
How long have we been here? And I haven't gotten a kiss. And the first day he comes, he gets a kiss. You're not owed a kiss because of, like, time. Like,
fucking man.
Like,
I just,
It just feels like, and he seemed the most, well, other than Anthony, seemed the most well-adjusted of the men. And even still, he's enforcing this idea of, well, I've waited long enough, therefore I get my kiss. It's like, it's not a wait thing. It's a, like.
Well, and the problem is that it doesn't matter, like, well, it kind of matters. But, like, for the most part, you get a bunch of men together, only one needs to be toxic. And after a certain amount of time, they're all going to be toxic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they feed off of each other. It's like this, like, Eric being on this cast, and to a lesser degree Marciano, but Eric being on this cast has created this environment of recklessness and ownership of women. And it's really disgusting, and it's just started to spread. And I think it's because for a large part, society has taught us that literally women are objects for sex.
Yeah.
They are objects for the pleasure of men. And it's like the actions of Eric has reinforced that in this group. I think that's also the reason why Steven is not susceptible to that, because he doesn't view women that way because he's gay. And I think to a large extent, Anthony being removed from the core of this group has also insulated him a little bit. And I think he's just also a better person.
Sure. Andre says that Gabrielle is trying to cover her ass by saying this now. He goes, she likes to have her cake and eat it too, but she forgets who makes the cake mix. What? That metaphor makes no sense.
None. I'm Betty Crocker?
Right, exactly. Also, you make the cake mix and she wants the... Okay. Whatever. And he basically says, like, two can play at that game, which, what the fuck does that mean? Like,
that means he's going to, like, go make out with somebody just for revenge.
Which is so stupid. The next morning, Telly and Hannah are talking in, like, the staff kitchen about the stuff the night before. Telly goes, talking about Gabriella, she's trying to put on this front, like she's just jealous that, you know, that guys like me. Guys don't like you. You just make yourself accessible. What? That's gross.
So that, now we're slut shaming each other.
Yeah.
Great.
And then she goes on to say in her confessional, what frustrates me about Gabriella is the fact that she isn't a girl's girl. Like, because that's girl's girl behavior. The fact of the dance situation and her trying to get with Dre, even though Grace is interested in him, it makes me weary about having a friend like that. So this also leads to this thing throughout this episode where Telly and Hannah really present themselves as if they're advocating for Grace this entire time, because Grace flirted with Andre, like, in the beginning of the season, like, said that she liked him. And then they had a conversation where Andre's like, I don't feel like that. And we said at the time, Grace was really like, okay, and moved on. And they're really acting as if, like, Grace is, like, deeply offended and affected. She's not.
She literally says later, I don't care.
Yeah. So, like, what are we doing?
Because Grace knows that she doesn't have any ownership of Andre.
Right.
She has no claim to him.
But the thing is, I think Telly and Hannah need an excuse to shit on Gabriella.
Yes.
For, you know, and that's the excuse. Yes. Like, we're doing it on behalf of Grace.
Yeah.
There's a quick scene of the guests feeding the donkeys that are in the pen or whatever. And at one point, Eric has to go, watch out, there's an electric fence. And then the guy just touches it anyways because he thinks he's joking. Which, in fairness, it's Eric. So
sure. How much do you want to bet Eric didn't know it was an electric fence until he fell into it doing some stupid ass shit like riding a broom around?
Oh, yeah. we didn't get that footage. I cut that out.
Cut the cameras. Dead ass.
Everyone's getting ready and stuff like that. And like Emily's like polishing some of the glasses by the bar. And Gabrielle and Andre are there. And there's very obvious like tension between them. It's like they're like either not talking or like the talking is like kind of like passive aggressive ish.
Mm-hmm.
Andre later at one point goes, can a brother get some help around here? And Gabrielle goes, do you need help? And he goes, no. You just say like, bruh.
Well, because he wants her to offer help. But not because he needs it, because he's a man.
Yeah.
It's real fucked up.
At one point, Gabriella goes, who rolled your sleeves? They look terrible. And he goes, I mean, one day I'll have a lady that can roll it for me. Until then, it's going to have to look like a man did it.
Ew.
Yeah, I hated Andre here. The more I read this, I'm just like, man, he sucks in this whole discussion. The guests are having a poolside lunch, and while that's happening, Gabriella and Andre are by themselves at the bar, and they get to talk a little bit more. Andre goes, honestly, you kind of pissed me off. And Gabriella goes, you're not going to act like you don't care and then suddenly make these comments, by the way. Like,
period.
Like, he does play, like, it's only in the confessional, like in the discussion the night before, he doesn't present as he's, like, super upset about it. Like,
right.
One-on-one. But now he's, like, sort of, like, in
his feelings. Because here's the thing. He's allowed to feel whatever he feels, but he also needs to acknowledge that he maybe doesn't have the right to like exert any sort of control. Like you can't help what you feel. You help your reaction to those feelings.
Sure. He then says this, this I was so confused by. He goes, look, say a Dan comes in later and you kiss him. Would you expect me to be upset? And Gabriella goes, yes. And he goes, would you do it? And she goes, no. Like, what is that question? Like, yeah, Andre, like, duh. Like, yeah, if you guys got further in this to where you become more serious, more official, more committed, like in this process of like being in this villa and like being on this show, mm-hmm. yeah, she wouldn't make out with someone else.
It's this to me feels like a lesser version of that, of the weird Schwartz Joe relationship.
Oh, kind of. Yeah, there's elements of it. Yeah.
In that she felt an ownership of Schwartz, even though he was like, no, we're not together. Mm-hmm. We're not together. Stop it. We're not together.
But at the very, different from
but
Schwartz,
their relationship was different because they were sleeping together. They were doing things together kind of as a couple.
And Gabriella hasn't presented anything other than they are in a flirting phase
right.
of this. Like they just started flirting.
They
with each
literally
other.
Haven't even kissed.
Yeah.
Get over yourself, dude.
Andre says that because Gabrielle's like, yeah, I do like you. You know, Andre says now that he knows how she feels, he won't be like spiteful or whatever. It's like, well, I'm glad you got the clarification, but also you could have just had a conversation like an adult about your feelings.
Right. Because she came to you. So clearly she is concerned about you hearing it from someone else and being upset about it. So she wanted to talk to you about it first because she respects your feelings.
Yeah.
Even though she does not actually owe you that. Period. Like it, like I just, the audacity of these men, I cannot.
Lisa's organized a night at the Moulin Rouge dinner and they have burlesque dancers. The staff gets to party with them as well. This was definitely Lisa's most like, you could just see in her eyes, the like sex craziness of like, maybe they'll sleep. Like she's like, so again, just have a fucking like harem at this point, girl. Like we get it.
Well, I found out that this is actually not a permanent thing. This is a pop-up.
Right. Yeah. The
Chateau Roosevelt is a pop-up. So it's not going to be in the same place if there's a season two, which they are casting for right now. So presumably there will be.
Yeah.
But like, if there's a season two, just go to fucking Holland. Go to Amsterdam.
But isn't it weird that they're just going to do a seemingly a whole new cast of people? Unless they're going to bring others over. I don't know. But like that just seems odd to me. Like we have to relearn
new people. May not be a new full cast. It may be some people are not being asked back.
Well, I think we know one.
At least Eric, right?
Yeah. Like, allegedly, they have filmed a reunion for this and Eric was not invited.
Wow.
So I mean, I think it has more to do with his, like, domestic violence stuff.
I don't care. He should have been invited and held accountable. To me, not going to the reunion is not a punishment. It's a letting off the hook.
That's true. Yeah, unless they're going to rewrite him out of everything, which it's like...
Right.
Yeah. But as everyone's partying, like, they're dancing with the guests and stuff like that, and they're having a great time. Priscilla's by herself at the bar, just sort of by herself, like, not integrating. And this is kind of a theme for the episode where she's, like, again, being very distant. Hannah says in her confessional, I'm having the best time of my life right now. It feels like I'm back in Vegas or college. Not that I went to college, but, like, just saying. Oh, Hannah, you didn't need to tell us you didn't go to college. and then so they're tucking in from the night or whatever, and we do see like the black and white sort of like security camera footage in the bedroom, and Gabriella does get in Andre's bed and they're very cuddly and, you know, integrating. Steven has to be there sleeping. Just I mean,
he literally in confessional goes, thank God for Ambien.
Yeah. Like I could not have the boldness to have, I don't know if they had sex, but they definitely got very, like, sort of, like, touchy-feely, like, to do that next to a person.
I will not tell you the story on air.
Okay.
not that I directly experienced as one of the people sharing a bed, but that I experienced from the position of Steven.
Uh-huh.
We will talk about it. Remind me after we get off the air.
Gay and Zambi after dark.
Mainly because...
For identity sake?
Yes. I don't want to expose the person that this happened because I actually give a shit about that person.
Okay. So the next morning, the guests are having their final breakfast and they get their comment card and fill it out and all that. They're departing, and then Lisa calls Hannah into the office because she got the most sort of like praise. They're like, she was always like, you know, the energy was always good. She always had drinks. She was, you know, we were the kind of people that turn up. And so she was able to turn up with us. Lisa brings her into the office. She goes, how do you think you did? And Hannah goes, I think I did great. I was more myself. And she goes, and why was that? Hannah goes, because Marciano wasn't around. It's like, well,
I mean, at least
in last episode, before she did this whole jealousy bullshit with Gabriella, I did like Hannah last episode.
She felt very much lighter and freer.
Yeah.
Until she found bullshit to pull herself down with.
Yeah. Lisa goes, I want this young woman, which is the best version of yourself. Getting, you know, happy that, but it's again, like, you're going to have to integrate Marciano back, spoiler alert. So it's like,
but also like, Lisa, just start a talk show at this point.
Sure.
Like, if you want to be Oprah, be Oprah. Like, it's fine.
Eric, at one point, we get this quick scene. He's like taking photos by a tree or something, like shirtless, that not shirtless, but he's like all buttoned down. He's like posing like, I need his brain studied. I really think like there's something off.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't mean to like say
it's
that.
Not lightly. Denigrating. It's just like, dude is not behaving in a spectrum of normality.
Yeah, because not even like the traditional misogynistic way. It's just a little like, no, like you're like creepy. Like,
yeah, it's just like, why do you think this is appropriate? Well, I mean, we've seen the things you think are appropriate to do around your staff when you are the manager. But this was, to me, like just more in that same vein, like, this person technically works for you.
Yeah.
And you're asking them to take sexy photos of you while you're working.
It's a problem.
What?
Yeah. I mean, I guess they're off hours or whatever, but still.
I don't care.
It's in the environment and it's in the,
yeah. It's one thing to party together. It's something completely different to ask this. Because it doesn't matter if they're off hours or not. He still holds a position of power over these people.
Yeah, you're right.
There's an imbalance here of power that is not fair to ask someone to do that. Because what happens, right? If somebody tells him no and it pisses him off, he can then go tell Lisa, this person's a problem. You need to get rid of them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're not wrong. It's a fucking like ridiculous shit show.
It's just endemic of like the entire hospitality industry actually runs this way. Anyone who's not worked in a restaurant, this is not far off. This is pretty fucking accurate to what happens behind the scenes in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Just saying.
We see, though, Priscilla, she's getting homesick or whatever, and she talks a little bit about it in her confessional about how she doesn't feel a bond with sort of any of these people, and she feels like it's an uncomfortable situation, and she's just, like, decompressing by the pool, like, you know, just sort of by herself. Lisa also longingly looking at Priscilla being, like again, it's like, what's wrong with Priscilla? She's sitting by herself and not, like what? This whole, like, this is where it's so weird, where it's like Lisa's mad, not mad, but Lisa's like, oh no, she's not like partying with all the, it's like, I get it from like a human level maybe, but it's also like, but you're there, like, why does it matter to you in terms of this job? Like,
right, because I get it from a human level too, but it doesn't come off that way from her.
No,
it comes off from her like, why is this person not getting along with the rest of the staff? This is not going to work right, because we need them to be friends so that when they have fights, it's more impactful.
That's the thing. Nothing,
it's coming from a producer angle.
She's not doing anything altruistic. Let's get to it. Because then Hannah tells Marciano that Lisa wants to speak to him in her office. We'll get to it also when we talk about Vanderpump Rules. I think I mentioned it, but like, Lisa has this show right now because she wants to exert power in a way that she does not get to exert anymore on Vanderpump Rules. Like I said, before we get to Vanderpump Rules, I actually thought she got rolled on Vanderpump Rules by Jax. We'll get to it. She felt so weak.
Yeah.
On Vanderpump Rules this episode. Here, she really is like enjoying getting to like be powerful.
Yeah.
And you see it particularly when she brings Marciano in. Like she goes, "How are you?" And Marciano goes, I'm a little nervous right now. And Lisa goes, "You should be nervous." like what the fuck? And she goes, "If I send you home, how does that make you feel? Why would you say that?" Like
that's so fucking manipulative.
Yeah, it's like a boss would never say, a boss would just be like, "This is your job performance. Yes, you receive this punishment, but have you learned your lesson in terms of this? If I crush all your dreams and send you home, will you cry?" Like it's what it sounds like. Like,
will you give me better TV if I fire you or keep you on?
Yeah.
Which one's better for me? Sell it.
And of course, like I said, Marciano is in his like wimpy mode right now. He goes, "I would be humiliated and I'd probably be more upset that I let you down," which is what she wants. She's like, "Yes, yes, you want my attention and you want my love." Lisa goes, "I'm not in the business of giving third chances, but I feel like maybe a third chance is worth it for me and for you." And so she's going to bring him back into the fold.
Of course she is, because she doesn't want to spend money to send him home.
Well, and also because he begged enough, right?
Like, yeah.
And then she tells him, "Don't make me look stupid." I think Lisa would be a great dominatrix.
Yeah, I can see that.
Where it's particularly the ones that do like the emotional, like sort of like play, yeah, sort of stuff. She actually could be pretty solid at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Gabriella and Andre are like playing around in like the staff kitchen or whatever. They're like fake boxing each other. And Hannah walks in like, "What's you guys doing?" And Gabriella feels like weird energy from Hannah. She goes, in her confessional, "Apparently the whole conversation in the house is that I only like Dre because Grace told me that she had a crush on him. So that's annoying." "But I feel like Telly and Hannah are the poster children for misery wants company. They're two sad girls and they aren't going to rain on my parade." I was like, "Ooh, that's, we see it on full display this episode. Lisa then decides to call Priscilla into her office to sort of talk about things. Because she recognizes that she's really depressed. She goes, "You know, I'm going back to the girl that I interviewed. The girl that was so full of life and how you connect with everybody. But I don't see you connecting with anybody." And like something about her saying like "so full of life." The girl that was so full of life, you know, the life that I want to suck out like to preserve my youth or something. Like, that's what it came off as.
It comes off a little bit as like Rita Repulsa, yeah, from Power Rangers.
Priscilla's crying and she's like, "I do feel homesick. Like, I just haven't been able to trust anybody. You know, just Emily and Grace, but they like have each other." And as the way Lisa is like leaning in of like, "Oh, tell me more." Like, she's like, it's odd. It really is odd. Oh, man. Lisa goes, "Everybody should treat you right." And Priscilla goes, "I mean, after, you know, Marciana's episode, like, I feel like there's a lot of negativity in the quarters. And sometimes they make me, you know, sit, you know, it makes me, like, shut down, basically." Priscilla is talking to her confessional, particularly that the Hannah thing, when, like, Hannah got mad at her for, like, spreading her legs too much or whatever, like, really triggered her. She's like, "Hannah and Telly only care about themselves. They don't care about me. They're, like, so mean." Priscilla doesn't really call, she doesn't, at least from what they show, she doesn't name Hannah or Telly directly,
right,
in this conversation with Lisa. It's only ever in her confessional that she like, right, gets like specific with things. But it's like they really hold this against her as if she definitively said she went to Lisa and she called us bullies. She called Hannah and Telly bullies. And that's not what happened. Like,
at all.
It really isn't. Like, and honestly, the more that they like sort of asserted that, it was like, I think you know what you're doing and you realize that you've kind of bullied her in a certain way. And it's like, you're telling on yourself,
mm-hmm,
by like getting so offended by it. It really was. We'll get to it at the dinner later, but it's very much a like doth protest too much sort of vibe.
Very much.
Lisa says her confessional, "I take it very seriously. You know, someone's mental health, how they're doing. I always take it very seriously." I'm like, "Oh, have you watched the season of Vanderpump? I mean, you took it seriously with Sandoval, but like anyone else's, not so much."
Well, I mean, also earlier this season, like, if I remember correctly, she literally gaslights Telly into, no, you know,
you're
no,
strong.
You're strong. Nobody gives it to you. You give it right back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, or maybe Eric is a menace and she's fed up.
Yeah. Also, her making the point to tell, now that I think about it, like, her making the point to tell Telly, you give it right back and, like, be strong and, like, fight people, basically, which is what I thought at the time. It's like, no, engage, right? Engage in, like, instead of, like, diffusing. Like, did that contribute to the Priscilla stuff in a way?
Maybe.
I don't know, because the Telly being evil came out of nowhere this episode, to where it was, like, I was confused of, like, but it seemed like it had been going on for a while from the way, like, Priscilla describes it.
Yeah.
So I was like, but is, that's where it's like, that's a mind fuck if Lisa, like, got Telly to encourage her to, like, you know, be more assertive or aggressive or whatever. And then Priscilla feels the ramifications of it. And now Lisa's tending to her. It's like, that's, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but that seems odd.
It also seems weird to me that Vanderpump gave that direction to Telly, who is a black woman.
Yeah.
And then gave a completely different. Now, I get that Priscilla is Brazilian, but she's still lighter in color than Telly. So it's like, what's happening here? And then it's like, is it like, I think the only reason that Andre gets actual preferential treatment from Vanderpump is because he's still a man and she has always babied the men.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe we're reading too much into it, like I said, but I just, it seems odd. It just seems odd, and one after the other like that.
Well, but here's the thing. I don't think that, whether that is her intention or her motivation or not, she's still playing into those stereotypes, and those are things that still reinforce systemic racism.
Sure.
So, like, it really like, it's impact over intention.
Yeah. Lisa says she realizes she needs to bring the group together and knows exactly what to do, which is just to organize a dinner for them, which it's like, that's not you. Again, like you were saying, she's a producer on this show. Uh-huh. This wasn't going to fix anything. You just wanted a group dinner to where they could fight.
Also, you already had this dinner set up. I do not believe that you could call and give Carcassonne 24-hour notice
to set up this, like, open air sort of, like, fancy dinner. I also love Telly thinks they're going to, when she tells them this at the meeting, that they're going to Carcassonne for dinner. Telly goes, we're going to what, Kazakhstan? Yeah, they're going to fly you to Kazakhstan.
Honestly, I didn't even know that Carcassonne was a real place. I only knew about it because of the board game.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
I hadn't bothered to look into it. So, yeah, just
geography's fun.
Yeah.
The girls are getting dressed to go out. Telly, like, Emily's like being like, you know, I'm trying to decide what to wear. Telly then goes, "Hey Emily, do you want to borrow something?" This will play into effect later in a way that's so fucking odd. Like, it seems so innocuous, but note it. I just want to note that Telly unpromptly offered Emily something to wear.
Uh-huh.
Just so we know, just to clarify. So Priscilla, they're all getting ready. And then Telly in her confessional says, "From the moment that we started getting ready, I knew Priscilla was being weird. I was trying on outfits. Everyone else was trying on outfits. Priscilla was sitting in the living room and it was nothing but like a stank face."
Like, well, if you were trying on outfits, then why do you know what her face looked like?
Yeah. She goes, "So I'm like, okay, you're obviously mad. Don't care. My outfit's still cute, regardless of your hype up or not." And I'm like, oh, this ain't cute. This ain't cute. I will say, as much as I thought the Telly, like, shift was shocking, I did have, not inklings of this, but, like, I didn't love Telly the first episode, and I didn't want to, like, expressly say, because I did think Marciano was a dick to her.
Right.
But, like, I also thought she was unprofessional in parts. And, like, now I'm like, oh, okay, so this is kind of, like, I was rooting for you. I realized I was rooting for you because of who you were against, not because you were right.
Correct.
And so, yeah. Priscilla is talking to Anthony on the couch in the living room, and she's like, "I talked to Lisa." Anthony, Lisa's like, "You don't seem happy." Anthony's like, "Are you happy?" Priscilla goes, "You know, I'm trying to find the people that make me feel happy, and I don't feel that way." Telly's sitting on the other couch, and Telly just goes, "Like, what do you mean?" And Priscilla's like, just like who I get along with more, like who I'm more comfortable with. And Telly goes, oh, like very like probing. She goes, Telly and her co-host goes, you need to speak up for yourself if you're upset. We all live in a house together. We're all going to piss each other off. But how can you resolve a situation if you don't want to talk to me, but you want to tell Lisa that you're being bullied? That's not cool. Like,
well, that's not what happened.
Like this, but okay, it's very, okay, I'm not trying to overuse this term. This is just what I'm saying. It's kind of narcissistic because it's like putting the, like, why are you rerouting the onus of, well, it's Priscilla's fault. She's not speaking up more. Like whatever, like, you know, if you feel this way, like you didn't tell me. So it's like your fault. It's like, no, like if you were an empathetic person, like that's my thing. If you see Priscilla is being distant, right? She's constantly like not being involved in conversations. She's constantly like being to herself and stuff like that. You clearly notice it. Like your instinct hasn't been like to ask why, like, hey, are you doing okay? Hey, is everything good? The fact that that's not the instinct. And now you're just trying to make it about how, well, she's not speaking up. So blah, 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 blah. And she's making me look bad. Well, you know, a great way to make yourself not look bad is just like to like, be like, hey, are you okay?
But also, it's not about you.
Well, that's the thing.
Like,
that's what I mean.
Like, it's like she's now created this issue, right? Where everything Priscilla does is about her.
Yeah.
And because of that, she's becoming a bigger problem in retaliation, so that then Priscilla does actually have a problem with her.
Right.
But it's like, you caused this. This wasn't initially about you. Like, it was about, she's just not finding her niche here. She's not finding, you know, her little clique of friends, which is fine. Like, but she feels a little isolated. That's not you.
Yeah. I mean, it is.
But because she's part of the cast.
Right.
But then she gets wind that she doesn't feel integrated with everyone else and goes, oh, well, that must be because we hate her. We hate her, right? Okay, great. So we're going to hate her more vocally.
Yeah.
What?
So then before they leave, we get this scene of Telly and Hannah talking by the pool. And Telly's telling Hannah about, like, the conversation in the living room. This was, like, so... This was... Like, you know that meme of, like, two of the dumbest girls saying, like, right to... Or exactly to each other? You know that meme?
Nope.
What, it's a very popular meme. I know some of you know it. Like, but this was giving that vibe where it's just, they were feeding off of each other in like a really like, ooh, nasty way.
Mm-hmm.
Telly goes with Priscilla. It's like, are you for real? Hannah goes, so she told Lisa Vanderpump, like, I know who I'm friends with. Telly goes, she's like, there's so much negativity in the air. And Hannah goes, what is she talking about? Hannah discussed, like, oh, you know what? I might bring this up at the dinner, you know, and say, like, you know, why, you know, confront it or whatever. Telly says she might say you guys are bullies. And Hannah goes, there's no way that girl has the balls to call anyone a bully.
What the fuck?
It's so, like, when we talked about it in the beginning of this show about how stereotypical a lot of the reality aspects of it are, like the tropes and the, like the turns of phrases and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and the character traits. This was the epitome of like this. She literally was like auditioning for the new Mean Girls movie before it came out or something. Like, it was like so classic. Like, it was just like it was familiar. Telly goes, what's pissing me off is Gabriella is up Grace's ass. Like, you literally said, I don't care if she likes this guy. I've known her for 10 days. That's so fucking disrespectful. Which, again, we've never seen Gabriella say. Was this one of the things where it's like you're just, you get the vibe and you're acting as if like she actually said these things? Because I don't, as maybe Gabriella is like a secret snarky bitch, but like, I don't see her vocalizing that ever.
At all.
Even if she thought that. You know what I mean? But as this, I don't know how far she is, but as they're having this conversation, Emily is by the pool, like folding towels or something. So she can overhear all of this discussion. And like, Hannah then says in her confessional, there's a series of confessionals at this point from Hannah that are just very self-referential.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like she tells on herself in a way in the confessional.
Yeah.
She says, I know she did it because Grace said that she liked Andre. She goes after anybody. And then she stops herself and goes, she won't look at Marciano. She knows I'll kill her.
Wow.
But I'm saying she's doing it for attention to prove that she's like the hottest in the house, which she's not. So it's like, that's your thought. Like, no, Hannah, that is what you think. That is your thought process in terms of everything. Also, she's not going after Marciano because nobody fucking wants to fuck Marciano.
No.
It's a fucking dick. Like, everyone's established that, girl. You can have him. There's no competition. Like,
oddly enough, though, wasn't there someone that said that they thought they liked Eric?
Who? In the house?
Yes.
If so, I think they want us to forget that, probably.
Is it? I feel like it was baby Grace.
No. Grace has better standards than that.
It was one of the... It was one of...
Oh, it might have been Emily, now that I think about it.
Emily, yeah. I was remembering it being one of the...
I think it was when he was doing the lap dance and she was like, he's kind of hot.
Yeah.
Something like offhandedly. But no, he's not.
No.
Emily, you could do better.
I could understand if you like took a snapshot of that and that's all you got from him. You didn't get the context of this being incredibly inappropriate.
Sure.
Or all of the other shit that he's done. Maybe.
But still.
I can get that. But no.
Yeah. Then it takes a turn because Hannah then starts going, Gabriella has a mustache. Like, her nose is like this. And Telly goes, she looks like Toucan Sam. I've never met such an ugly, self-absorbed person.
What the fuck?
Wow. Like, and it is so shitty because Gabriella is gorgeous. Like, when she literally says later, I know I'm beautiful, I'm like, you have a right to say that because you are fucking gorgeous, actually.
Yeah.
So, like, they're talking out their ass. And I really wanted Gabriella at a certain point just be like, oh, I look like Toucan Sam. Like, Hannah, you look like a fucking blowfish. Like,
honestly,
those fucking lips are way too fucking big for your
have
face.
Have fun with your anaphylactic shock.
Yes. Emily, but like this part really upsets Emily. Like, she is getting like that part is the crossing the line moment for Emily. And she says in her confessional, I might look all nice on the outside, but I'm not afraid to stick up for my friends and put a bitch in her place.
I was like, yeah,
Emily and Grace are like the underrated stars of this show because I love how so quiet and like they really don't contribute much on this show.
Yeah.
Like, for the most part, because they aren't trying to be fake ass fucking reality stars. But when they see injustice, they're like, I'm swooping the fuck in and I'm taking the gloves off. So Emily then tells Priscilla and Grace this, what Hannah and Telly were saying. And so they're, you know, clearly like, what? That's fucking disgusting. Like, what the hell? So they end up going to Carcassonne. It's very beautiful. Like, all mm-hmm. like I think Steven says it feels like I'm in like a Disney movie, basically. There's this weird, again, talk about sexual harassment again. Eric like gets down on his knee for Caroline and like this like sort of flirty, like kind of like, oh guys, look at me, you know, moment, and then kisses her. Like everyone was kind of like, yeah. But it was a thing where it's like, okay, like she didn't really consent. I mean,
at least she's not like directly under him, like she's in a different quote-unquote department, so he's not her manager.
Yeah,
but like, still,
the producer asked Caroline, so you and Eric shared a kiss, and Caroline goes, we had what? The producer goes, oh, you didn't hear me. Like, I love that she's like, I know you're trying to act like it didn't happen. They all then sit down for dinner. Eric is already sounding drunk.
He left the villa drunk.
He goes, no matter what we went through, I love every single one of you guys. No matter your fault. And he's just ranting and ranting. It's like, I love you guys till the day I die. Gabriella literally goes, why is he like this? Like,
but that's how he sounds all the time. That he's literally like almost on the level of slurring his words in confessionals.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about when I'm like, there's something wrong with this man.
Mm-hmm. Hannah then just goes, I have a question. Does anyone feel bullied or upset in this group or have an issue? And everyone's like, what the fuck? Like, we're trying to have a nice dinner. Like Caroline's finally enjoying some food that she's not cooked. Like, she was waiting for this and we're just going to ruin it. Great. And it's like, there's no like tact. Like, Hannah thinks she's like figured this out of just like, I'm going to spring it on them. Gabriella jumps in and goes, because I guess it was directed towards Priscilla, Gabriella said something of like, I'm going to speak up first because, you know, I can show people mm-hmm. that, like, you know, they're nothing basically. And, but they make it like Telly makes it later of like, oh, misdirected fire because Gabriella answered when it wasn't about her. Who cares? Like, you guys are making things about her as well. It's, it could have applied to multiple things.
Right.
Gabriella goes, I mean, the whole issue between Dre and I getting closer and everyone discussing it amongst themselves. Caroline goes, what do you mean issue, you know, with you being closer? Hannah goes, I think it's just that everyone had an issue because Grace said that she liked Dre. I love the fact that Caroline is asking, like, what's the issue? Because it's Hannah and Telly made it up.
Yeah.
Like, there, no one's, like, weirded out by Gabriella flirting with Andre, but
no,
it's not even just a matter of this seemed odd to me. Hannah and Telly are like, the house has been like feeling this way. No, they're not. Like,
no. Did the house tell you this?
Anthony goes, I love, as soon as he said that, Hannah brings up that Grace said she liked Andre. Anthony goes, oh, you like Andre? Like, and great, the look on Grace's face is like, great. Like, why is this being brought up?
Like, now, why I'm in it?
Grace goes, it's not a big deal, and that's why I didn't say anything to Gabriella about it. And but so it kind of just gets, like, squashed because Gabriella, or Grace is like, don't care. Not an issue. Me and Gabriella are cool. Like, and it really just, there's no, you can't fight after that, right? Emily then in her confessional goes, if they want to ruin dinner, I can definitely help with that. It was very much the Tiffany New York parlor. I was bored, so I ruined lunch. It was giving that vibe. So she pulls Gabriella to the side at one point at the table, and like Gabriella's like hunched over listening to Emily, and Emily's telling her what Hannah and Telly said. She goes, I've heard them say the nastiest shit, ugly beak, toucan Sam. Like, and just laying it all out. Gabriella goes, that's awkward. Does that mean I'm prettier than both of them? At least I know I am. Like, Gabriella, bitch. I love Gabriella, doesn't internalize it. She doesn't get upset by it. She's like, oh, it just means that they are literally, they realize that I am gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know, and therefore. Emily then, Gabriella sits back down and Gabriella goes, don't worry about it. But Emily's going to jump in. She goes, I'm just going to give a toast to, I hope everyone sees and realizes who their true friends are and who's not, because there's a lot of bullshit when you're making fun of appearances and shit. I don't fuck with that. Hannah then goes, Emily, who's making fun of appearances? This is where it's like telling on you. Like, girl, you spoke up way too quickly.
She really irks me.
What's that word about like a hit dog? Like,
hit dog will holler.
Yeah. Hannah goes, in her confessional, if there's an issue, why are you in Telly and I's room asking to borrow Telly's clothes?
Well, she's not.
She didn't. So. She Telly offered.
Literally didn't happen.
And also,
okay.
And also, this was before you talked all that shit about Gabriella by the pool.
Right.
She goes, making that toast, I think she was a pussy. Sorry. Gabriella goes, you and Telly were speaking so negatively about me. And Hannah goes, what did I say? Emily goes, calling her ugly, you use the word ugly, toucan Sam, you said beak. Hannah goes, I don't even know what toucan Sam is. What toucan Sam? I love that Jax literally does this later on Vanderpump Rules, yes. By the way. We'll get to it. But it's just like,
but the thing is I believe that Jax doesn't know what that word is.
Yeah.
Because it does very much seem above Jax's pace grade.
But it's also such a thing of like, Telly was the one that specifically said toucan Sam, but you said she had a mustache. You said like,
yeah,
you made fun of her nose generally. Shut up, Hannah. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Eric goes, his confessional, Emily, you're finally letting loose. Bang your chest. I see that hot, fire, sexy side. I'm like, oh, God, no.
No.
I think we were right that it was Emily, because I feel like now this is hinting like Eric and Emily are going to have something, and I don't want it.
No, but honestly, if things get worse for Eric throughout this season, I feel like it's going to be centered around that.
Yeah, probably. So Telly's not at the table at this point. I guess she got up somewhere before Emily confronted this. But notice Hannah goes, where's Telly? Because she wants Telly to be the one.
No, she needs a wingman.
Yeah. Telly then walks up and Steven asks, okay, I'm just going to tell you straight to your face. Did you say Gabriella's ugly and looks like Toucan Sam? And Telly goes, yeah.
Okay. Cool, I mean, at least girl. She owned it.
But then Hannah goes, who cares? So it's no one said anything to I didn't say this to who cares. Like,
right.
Perfect. Telly says her confessional, Look, I do throw low blows, and I do need to be better at expressing my frustrations. All right, fine. Hannah then goes, I busted out laughing. Because then I guess either Telly and Emily are talking separately or whatever, but either something happens and it like dies down at the table. Like no one's really talking, and they're just like sipping their wine and eating. Hannah then turns to Caroline and goes, what? Did you say I'm insecure? Caroline goes, I said nothing, my love. Hannah goes, oh, I thought you said something. And the way that Caroline deadpans the camera after this.
Like, it was so good.
Like, are you seeing this? Like, this is so, like, oh, what, you saying I'm insecure? Oh, you said literally nothing? Forget I said anything. Great way to show you're not insecure, girl. Like, you're literally hearing things. That tells me everything. Emily tells Telly, look, I respect you for saying yes instead of just saying no and storming off. Like, I'll give you that credit. And then Hannah goes, wow, which is her signature. Find your pace, honey. And then under her breath, Grace goes, here we go. Hannah then goes, we had your fucking back, Grace. You two never speak up. You guys are fake ass bitches. And this is where Hannah loses me, because Hannah just kind of like hit, it's just like she's been turned on, and it's like blonde reality like villain doll, right? And so She's nailing all the lines. She's like, you're fake ass bitches. And then she just randomly goes, I've lost my appetite. And she throws her steak on Eric's plate, who's like right across from her, and she goes, have my steak. Calm down. Calm the fuck down. You're doing way too fucking much. At one point, Marciano then whispers, I'm with you. I support you. And Hannah goes, I don't care. Good job, Marciano. Why are they trying to be together? I don't understand it.
It's so toxic from both of them.
Yeah. Hannah goes, I don't know why you're looking at me like I have 10 heads right now. And then it's just like, I just wrote Hannah incessantly yelling over and over again. And just all these tropes. And then Hannah stands up and goes, fake ass bitches. Grace goes, okay. Hannah goes, what? Grace goes, I said okay. She goes, really? Because you're a little mouse and you don't speak up for yourself. You're a dumb bitch. there's no real analyzing of this at all. It's just...
That's my favorite.
They get back into the sprinters to head back to the villa. Hannah, again, another self-reflective Hannah confessional. She goes, I feel like it's me and Telly against the entire house right now. But to be honest, I don't give a fuck. Thank God we're strong. I think it's an insecurity problem, honestly. Like, if you're insecure, I mean, I'm not like that. It's like her inner voice comes out and be like, oh, yeah. I'm not like that.
Well, it gets me because you're doing the voice perfectly. And it's so funny when girls like that say the word fuck. Mm-hmm. Because it somehow becomes an ass sound. And it's
talking
like
a fuck.
Fack. It's like, why is that so fat? What?
And then randomly in the car, she just goes, what the fuck is Toucan Sam? Stupid. Gabriella says her confessional, if Hannah was my daughter, I would look at her and say I was a failure, which is such a, it's true. And then but that's also a cutting fucking line to say, like, I'm not just going to shit on you. I'm going to shit on your mother for her parenting. And literally they get back to the house. Hannah goes, Emily, take her pants off. And Telly goes, yeah, take my pants off. Because you don't deserve to wear her pants anymore. Emily's like, fine, I was going to wear other pants. Like, what? I didn't want to wear these pants. They get to the bedrooms. Hannah is still fucking yelling at Grace and Emily. Grace just wants to go to bed, honestly.
Yeah.
Hannah's like, you look like an idiot because, Grace, you're the one that has curated all of this drama. She hasn't said anything. In your mind, she's curated the drama because she, like, in your mind, she was offended at Gabriella when she wasn't.
I don't even think that they believe that. I think that they made that up as an excuse.
Yeah. Probably more than not. Like... As this is happening, though, Andre then goes, this is all over me? And he's so happy about it. He talks about being like, he's going to get to be like the next bachelor. He's like wish casting about this. He's like, oh my God, they're fighting over me. Andre, you're kind of being a loser this episode, I got to say.
But also, like, they're not fighting over you. Yeah. They're really fighting over Grace. who doesn't even want to be in this.
Hannah's still ranting in the living room. Everyone's shutting their door like pussy ass bitches. Like, come out and say to my face. No one wants to talk to you. You're fucking a lunatic. Just go to bed. That's how Vanderpump Villa ends. We leave on that cliffhanger. It's like, Jesus. It's funny, but I don't take any. Again, this feels like parody. It does feel like parody to a certain. I like Grace and Emily. I like Gabriella. But like everything else involved in this, it's just like, this is stupid. I laughed, but it's like, it's stupid.
But it's messy and dramatic, and there's a lot going on. But it's, again, it seems so low stakes.
Yeah.
That I'm not getting emotionally involved, which is really what I need from good reality television.
Right.
Like her or not, Vanderpump is good at creating these casts.
Sure.
Like, this is definitely giving me early Vanderpump vibes.
Yes. I will say that. I don't know if it... My thing is, I don't know if it has any longevity.
I don't know if it does either, but I think part of the reason that they are revamping the cast is because Vanderpump has realized that if you stick with the same cast over and over and they keep growing and, you know, learning lessons and not learning lessons and whatnot.
You just need to recycle in more damaged people.
Right. If you just cast a new cast of people like you did the first time, you get to keep recreating that magic without ever having to deal with real life.
Right.
Which I think is kind of smart, actually.
Yeah, probably. Oh, man. God. Yeah, that's Vanderpump Villa. Again, fun little show. It's a good watch. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're talking the newest episode of Vanderpump Rules. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello, friends. I'm your pal in the mainstream media.
And I'm the Riz.
And, you know, Riz, it takes years of strenuous, dedicated training before you're worthy to step inside a professional wrestling ring. But it takes even more time to develop complex, highly astute opinions about professional wrestling. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. And you know where we can find that?
Yes.
On the Wrestling Mayhem.
That's right.
Do you want something new to put on your reading list? Are you feeling your holiday spirit grow while also being astutely politically in tune?
Then you'll want to pick up The Santa Strike, a new book by Shanna Hamaker.
While home in Midland, Texas, on a weekend visit with the eccentric uncle who raised him, Marion Wachowski, otherwise known as Mary, discovers a long-forgotten letter Uncle Joe wrote to Santa Claus. Mary keeps it to share with his girlfriend Lindsay and his best friend Tommy. At first, they consider the letter to be nothing more than a silly lark. What kind of grown man would write a letter to Santa? But soon, Mary and Lindsay find themselves caught in a much larger mystery, concerning many, many more letters to Santa, all surrounding the crisis of gun violence in America.
You can order The Santa Strike now on Amazon, available both on Kindle and in paperback.
Sidekick Media Services. We are your sidekick in business for social media, video production, and more. Find out more at sidekickmediaservices.com.
Welcome back to A Gay and His NB. Let's head to West Hollywood, where Jax returns with a splash by exposing a secret told to him just minutes beforehand. Oh, and Sandoval, shocker, is being a giant pile of shit on Vanderpump Rules.
That about sums it up, honestly.
Yep, well, we'll just move on to the valley.
Yeah. This episode was, I will say, we only have like 2 episodes left after this, I think.
It's
like,
gotta be getting close, right?
I mean, that big, like, oh my God, we're gonna hate Ariana thing. Still waiting. Just like, what are we doing? Like, I have a feeling it's just not there. And I think they don't understand, like, you know, where the audience is in many ways. Like,
yeah. I think it's less that they don't understand where the audience is and more that they really thought they did a good job of lying to the audience.
Yeah.
Like, no, we have eyes. like we can see that you're lying to us. We're not stupid.
Yeah. We start the episode at James and Allie's house, and they're in their studio because James is working in there. And then we just see, hey, and we see fucking Jax behind the fence. And I love his lower third says, ex-sir employee.
I feel like that's a Lisa move because she's so jealous of the Valley being a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't have any control over that show.
No, not at all.
And these are people that she gave prominence.
Well, she doesn't have a control over a lot of things this episode. I kind of alluded to it a lot, but like we'll get to it. James says in his confessional, pretty sure the last time we worked at Sir together, you know, we hated each other. You know, he said he wanted to host a night at Sir, and I thought, let's take baby steps. Let's do a brunch. He misses Sir. He's like, get me back in the ring. James, he doesn't miss Sir. He misses being on the show. That's what it is. Yeah. That, like, why is he, like, him filming with James and be like, oh, tell me about your DJ stuff. Like, okay, Jax. Really? Really? Like, you fall on your sword just for anything, just so you can get camera time on this show.
Honestly.
That's really what it is. And honestly, you do a pretty decent job this episode, but, like, still. I don't know if you saw, I replied to, because Bravo and Botox, shout out to Bravo and Botox, they had a great tweet, which was about, like, can we just replace Jax and Sandoval? Like keep Jax on the Valley, obviously, but, like, get rid of Sandoval and just replace him with Jax. Because here's the thing with Jax. Jax is funny. He does stupid shit this whole episode, and he's definitely the villain, and he's definitely not a good person. But I laughed at him the whole time. Or most of the time, at the very least. Sandoval, I get viscerally angry about.
Yeah.
And it's like, and he doesn't bring anything that's like sort of entertaining, I would argue. I would much prefer Jax.
Honestly. Like, the thing is that, like I said earlier, like, Jax knows what the fuck he's doing on reality television.
Sure.
So, like, yeah. Like, of course I want to see him on my screen more.
And Jax is willing to do things to make himself look stupid, too. And, like, whether he knows it or not, like...
Right.
He then goes... Because James is talking about, like, yeah, we're doing the brunch at Sir, and, like, I'm going to have people over the house afterwards. Jax goes, is my best friend Katie going to be there? And Allie goes, yeah, are you guys actually best friends? And Jax goes, no. James tells Allie, I'm loving Allie, by the way. We'll maybe talk a little bit about Watch What Happens Live. James goes, don't you have a reading to do? And Allie goes, oh, I do. But tell me what he says, though, because I want to know. I love that, like, an underrated character trait about Allie is that she's a mess box. Like, I like, like, she is a great bone carrier this season.
But she's an ethical messy bitch.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is that she's gonna bone carry, but for all the right reasons.
Right. And she my thing is, though, she seemed, because she's so new, right?
Right.
But she has her ear to the ground on a lot of things. Like, she, like, was, I think she was interviewed by some publication. She's like, yeah, like, Ariana and Sheena were very, like, distant at Coachella. There was, like, definite, like, tension between them. Like, just basically exposing that. And then remember when, because she was on Watch What Happens Live with Janet for this week's episode. And, like, Andy asked about, like, hey, have you met Janet? Have you met, like, Michelle's new boyfriend that, like, she's been, like, photographed dating with? And Allie's like, oh, I've met him. Like, how did you meet him?
You're not even on the show. What?
But, like, yeah, I like the, I, Allie's kind of growing into things.
Oh, yeah.
Jax is talking to James, and he goes, apparently Katie, like, she's telling everybody now that I cheated on my wife. Like, is she that pissed off that she can't fuck any more of her ex-husband's friends, so she has to come after me because she can't fuck me, or what? Okay. Trust me, Katie does not want to fuck you.
At all.
Second off.
Well, I'm not even sure that she's interested in dick right now.
Right. But also, I love that, like, oh, well, one comment that Katie makes at that fucking girls' lunch about how there's stories I see out still about, like, Jax, like, the way that Jax spiraled over that.
Oh, yeah, completely.
Is, one, telling on yourself. Two, like, such an overreaction. Three, my bigger question was, was it Sheena or Lala that told Jax?
Yeah.
Because how else would he fucking, like, know about that? I'm leaning towards probably Sheena.
Yeah.
James goes, I hope Jax isn't cheating on Brittany. But let's face it, Jax has a checkered past. If both are on a side and are both telling me something, I've got to go with Katie, you know, out of like history and trust. I was like, and again, James having Katie's back.
Yeah.
Love to see it. Jack says, you know, I also don't know what my relationship is with Lisa right now. And James goes, I just feel like the respect was broken. Jack says, look, I'm not going to bow down to her because you own a few restaurants in Hollywood. Come on. Here's the thing. I don't feel bad. Like, Lisa gets, like I said earlier, Lisa gets rolled later. And like, this is when Jack says this here, I'm like, oh, he's going to get checked and he's like being a, you know, he's going to fly too close to the sun, so to speak, but he ends up not, in my view.
Well, and I just love how he reduces her to owning a couple restaurants in West Hollywood as if she is not like one of the most successful restaurateurs in the world. Like, her and Ken have opened a lot of extremely successful restaurants sure. around the world. Like, it's not, girl.
Well, you have to, like, I think what it is, you have to, like, strip back the fourth wall in terms of this. Because I think the reason Jax is able to say this in his mind is that he is now back on reality television. He's filming his show at the same point that this is happening, right? Like, so he knows he's back. He's, you know, in the mix and stuff like that. He, you know, piggybacked off of Scandoval to get inserted back into things. And now he's not ousted anymore, so he doesn't need Lisa, right? Yeah. I've got my own show, and I can do whatever the fuck I want.
The thing is that I think it... I don't think that he, in the long run, needed to worry about it. But I would have been trepidatious this early because his show is being filmed. It hasn't aired.
Right.
And there's nothing that he's been a part of on Vanderpump that makes his show a necessity.
But isn't that Jax, though, to like get way ahead of himself in terms of that? Be like, completely. It's going to be the biggest success in the world. And then like...
But like, they could have filmed it, decided it was trash, and canned it.
Yeah.
And nobody would have known the difference other than we would have gotten a fucking article in Radar Online that said it was dropped.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's true. Sheena is at home with Summer Moon and her mom, and Brittany decides to stop by. The way Sheena in her confessional goes, I have known Brittany literally a day less than Jax has known Brittany. I loved everything is like a competition in terms of like the best friend, like element with Sheena.
I can't.
I only knew her a day before. And like it's, and also again, like Sandoval's her best friend. Brittany's her best friend. Like, you know, it's just like, Jesus Christ, like pick a, you know, pick a narrative and fucking stick with it.
She's also the best friends with several mirrors in her house.
Exactly. Brittany goes, are you and Brock going to have any more children? And Sheena goes, you know, I don't think I'll ever want to get pregnant again because I don't want the chance of dying because her pregnancy was so bad.
Yeah.
And then Brittany goes, I mean, this was, we are officially trying. I was like, oh, God. Well, I'm so glad they didn't, right?
Yeah.
But it's like... Also, that's a cut into the valley, but obviously because this is kind of intertwined this episode. Why are you trying to have another fucking kid right now? I'm sorry. You acknowledge that your marriage is not great right now. You acknowledge that, like, you're not said that you're going to separate, but you've been like, we don't want to get to the Jesse and Michelle part. We don't want to, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why be like, let's have a kid right now? Doesn't make any logical sense.
Well, not to mention the fact that they've literally already talked about we need to fix us before we bring another child into this and exacerbate the existing issues.
Right.
Literally said that on camera.
It's like, you didn't finish the job.
Clearly.
Yeah. Sheena goes, I just feel like Brock and I have just been at each other's throats lately. Like, I think he got offended yesterday because he was like, oh, date night for our anniversary. And I was like, oh, we were planning a big thing with everyone and that didn't work out. So I thought we were going to do a big thing. And he's like, oh, you don't just want to go to dinner with me? And I'm just like, we can do that anytime. And he's like, well, we don't do that anytime. And I'm like, because we're busy right now. It was like, this is your problems? Okay. I think y'all ain't being real with each other, like, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then as this is happening, we cut between this and Brock with his friend Luke, sort of like discussing some other things. Talks about like the nanny issue and stuff like that. He goes, I need someone in the house so that I can step away to go fill my cup. And I think it adds so much tension to Sheena. And because, you know, she's providing for the whole family. She's the main breadwinner. Luke then goes, But you guys knew that coming into it. I did like that Luke was like, okay, but let's also contextualize. Like, she was always the breadwinner in this marriage from, like,
right
moment one. Like, you know, I get that, like, I kind of sympathize with Brock as this gets, like, discussed further. But I also thought it was important to be like, it's not like things shifted, right?
Right. Well, I think it's less that it, I don't think that Brock necessarily needs to be the person that's earning the most money.
Yeah.
I think he just needs to be earning money. Like, he feels like...
he feels like a deadbeat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it doesn't help that everybody's saying that online,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's internalized that a lot. And, like, not just that he's a deadbeat husband, but also people calling him a deadbeat dad to his older two children.
Right.
And it's like, I can get why he'd get a complex about that.
Yeah. I also, I get when he ducks his point later about, like, wanting it for, like, fulfillment purposes too and stuff like that. Like, it's not just a, you know, it's not just a money thing, right?
Right.
I get that. Like,
yeah.
But then, of course, like, I feel like Brittany, I can understand why Brittany and Sheena are friends, because Brittany kind of just speaks to Sheena's worst tendencies. She goes, I know whenever I was making more money than Jax, there was a shift for him and we were fine a lot because of it. And Sheena says, a confessional, I feel like there are these standards that men and women feel like they have to meet. Like, why can't he be the stay-at-home dad? Why can't the woman go out and make the money? It's this misogynistic old appeal to how it should be. And it's one of those things where it's like, yes, that's technically correct. Like, I do agree that, like, it shouldn't be a matter of, like, man, the man works and the woman stays at home. But it's also, like...
I don't think he has a problem with being a stay-at-home dad because he's a man.
No.
I think he has a problem being a stay-at-home dad because it's fucking boring for him.
Sure.
And he, like, is not stimulated enough.
Can I also add, and I'm not trying to be mean, what work does Sheena do where she has, like, Sheena's not doing an 8-to-5 clocking in, you know, job.
What do you do successfully?
She, like, you
quickly
have, you have, like, brand deals that you can do from home. Like, you have, like, you sing every once in a while. I don't know if that's bringing in money. Like, you work on this show. I don't, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, also, that's the other thing where it's, like, when they keep saying, like, she's the breadwinner because she's on this show. Like, that's
the... But also, he's getting a check from the show.
But I don't think it's the same check.
No, it's not the same check. She's been on for 11 seasons. Well, he's been on for, like, 4.
Yeah, but he's not even in the intros. Like, he's kind of, like, a background character.
Right. Like, she, like, he's... essentially a friend of.
Yeah.
But he's definitely getting more of a check, I think, than the husbands on Housewives, mm-hmm. who I don't even know if they get paid.
They probably have to, but it's like...
Probably, you know. But it's like a small thing. He's on every episode.
Yeah. Sheena starts crying and mentions, like, her OCD and anxiety are getting to her. She's off Zoloft now because she was like, I was getting too tired and, like, I need energy in which to, like, you know, raise summer and
I
all that.
I guarantee you she just stopped taking it. Go talk to your doc. This is just a PSA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To anyone on mental health medication, do not just stop it. Go and, like, talk to your doctor about the symptoms that you are having. Adjust your dosage. Because I guarantee you it is better to find the right dosage and get your shit taken care of than to subject yourself to whatever the medication is supposed to be helping you through.
Right. So what Sheena says here at least was somewhat illuminating, I feel. We'll get it. It'll play into a little bit of what happens at the end, but, like, I think in terms of the relationship with Brock, it's very, like, informative. She goes, and now I'm having, like, even worse intrusive thoughts. Like, I trust my husband. He's amazing. But, like, people make comments about him and Lala all the time. Like, oh, we see the way Lala's eyes light up when Brock's in the room. Watch out. And I don't think that, but my brain goes there now. Like, a nanny. Can you imagine if your husband left you for the nanny? Like, I just hate that my brain goes there. And, like, it gave an explanation to what the whole nanny
right.
conversation about, like, why she wants it to be her mom and why she wants it or a family, you know,
right.
person or whatever. And that's valid. I mean, it's not like, cause it's your brain doing something to you, but
right.
like that made it make more sense. And I
right.
think also if she told that to Brock, it would stop Brock from just like, or it should stop Brock from like harping on her about it all the time.
Yeah. But even then I feel like Brock harps on her because he's like, yes, I get what you're saying, but also this person is not appropriate. This person is not appropriate. And if that's all the only people that you're wanting to have, we got to find some other ground. We got to find something else.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I don't think that I know a lot of people, and even us sometimes, will say things like, well, they're going to be broken up by next season. They're headed for Splitsville. But I, after this episode, I really do think that there's nothing major that's...
It's not unfixable.
It's not unfixable.
And it's not Jesse and Michelle.
No, it's not Jesse and Michelle or even Jackson, Brittany. It's so much easier to handle these things if you can have a real conversation without... Never mind, it's Sheena. I was going to say without getting super emotional, but it's Sheena.
Well, you can get emotional, but communicate. Communicate right. What you're actually feeling.
Right.
And it's similar to the Ariana situation. She doesn't communicate to Ariana what she's actually feeling.
Yeah.
So that's why stuff festers and gets worse.
Right.
Like, you want to talk around it is the fucking issue. We then see a scene where Schwartz and Katie go to Mel's diner. This scene was very funny to me. I this is the only time I've been able to watch a Schwartz scene and not hate myself for watching it. Like,
also there is no sexual tension.
It's not sexual.
Stop it.
It's not. Here's the thing. I get people are wish casting when they say that, but like it's not sexual. And I think it's genuinely, but it's a, I think it's a good light friendship.
Yes.
And that is, you know, it is good for Katie. She talks about how she, you know, there's still a part of her that always wanted this friendship with Tom because, you know, you've been with this person for however long. You don't want to just cut it off. And, you know, I understand why she did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even like she said to Sandoval earlier this season, I ended a marriage with someone I was still in love with because I didn't feel like he prioritized me.
Yeah.
Like, it's not hard to understand that. She still loves that man,
yeah.
But it has been long enough that she realizes, number one, this is not healthy for me. And number two, I'm no longer in love with this man, but I will always love him.
Right. And the good parts of it were being outweighed
right.
by all the negatives, even after the relationship was done, right, in that last year.
And now we've gotten to a place where it's just the memories and the current of the positive things. Yeah.
And the thing is, Katie doesn't, we'll get to it, Katie doesn't care.
Right.
Like Schwartz kind of is like, and he does it with Ariana later too, where it's just like, wow, they're not like tearing my throat out and they're not like jumping me. Yeah. Because they think you're a fucking idiot. Like, but you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Like he's like, they're just like, they can just roll their eyes and laugh at you now.
Yeah.
And they don't like take anything you say seriously anymore because you're such a joke to where like,
well, but it's also...
It doesn't phase them.
There's no repercussions.
Yeah.
He has no power.
Right. Everyone sees him as the joke. Most everyone sees him as the joke that he is, too. So it's just like...
Yeah.
Schwartz goes, I'm in a really good mood today. Like, can you see on my face? And Katie goes, well, I'm seeing a lot of things happening in front of me, like the hair. Schwartz goes, do you like it? And Katie goes, why? He's like, Joe and Lena did it. Katie goes, I saw it. And then asks, was that a hard launch? Because he posted a photo, apparently, of Joe and Lena with him after he got the hair done. And Schwartz was like, no, they asked me to post a photo for the salon Joe works at. And apparently Katie commented underneath it, oh boy, dot, dot, dot. Schwartz goes, I've always been clear. Like, I don't want to date. I don't want to have a girlfriend. Katie pulls a face like, have you been clear?
I think he's been pretty clear.
I don't think he's ever explicitly said that to Joe's face before a couple episodes ago on camera.
Maybe.
He goes, we more or less decided to take a break from hanging out because she said something that really broke my heart. She's like, are you embarrassed of me? And it made me feel so sad. This is also where, like, when he said this part, I was like, I had a like little like, fuck you. Because I was like, don't say that in front of Katie to me. Like, I felt so bad when she said that she felt like I was embarrassed by her, you know, because that makes me feel like I am sure Katie has expressed during that marriage.
Yeah.
that Schwartz feels embarrassed by her.
Yeah.
Because that's how he acted towards her. So it's like you saying that to Katie, it felt like another jab. It's like the jab he doesn't realize because he doesn't have like the emotional intelligence of.
Right.
But here, Katie just didn't react to it. And that tells me Katie's grown emotionally.
Yeah.
Like, and not like in terms of grown, like she's healed.
Right.
She's healed that sort of like hole in her heart. And that's why I also don't fuck with Lala this season being like, she's miserable. She's this and that. No, she clearly fucking isn't, because she literally took that and was just like moving on.
Yeah.
That's growth by Katie. You know what I mean? Like, Schwartz goes, how was your date with Tori? And Katie goes, it was good. I think she just liked me more than she liked you. Schwartz goes, she gave me a, you know, cheeky little peck. And Katie goes, that's all you got? Huh? That sucks. I got tongue. Again, they sort of like, you know, jab at each other in like a fun, like, yeah, sort of like way. Schwartz says his confessional, I know it's weird, but like, I think Katie pursuing a girl that I've been hanging out with is almost her saying like, I miss hanging out.
No,
that's not what it is. And then Schwartz goes, let's both text Tori and see who responds first.
Why does it have to be a competition?
But it was fun enough because they both do it. And Katie, like, Schwartz gets his first, like, 2 minutes first. And Katie goes, he goes, your text was at the top and she was just going down the list. And Schwartz goes, whatever helps you sleep at night. I like that. And then, like, Katie goes, look, you just wanted to have a hair glow up because I had a hair glow up. And Schwartz goes, I must have missed that. And it was one of the times where Schwartz makes a joke towards Katie where I was like, oh, that was funny. Oh, wait, I found a joke that Schwartz made to Katie funny. Oh, my God, am I enjoying the scene? I'm enjoying the scene.
Right. Well, I think the reason that it felt funny is because it couldn't hurt Katie.
Yeah.
Because we've constantly over the years had to balance any joke that had any level of humor in it that was directed towards her with how much it hurt her.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's like, you can't. Like, you don't have power here anymore.
And Katie's, like, in on the joke in a way.
Right.
Where it's, like, in before, it just felt mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We see Brock and Sheena going out on a dinner date together at this fucking... As soon as they were going through, like, the stuff at the restaurant, it's like, I've seen this restaurant on Instagram. I would hate going to this restaurant. It's when it's, like, where they have all these, like, wacky, like, gags for, like, the... Like, they have a gin and juice cocktail that they serve in, like, a boom box and, like... It's like,
that's a lot.
Yeah, I can't. But it's so Sheena and Brock, by the way. That is very Sheena and Brock's vibe. It's all about the aesthetic. Like, Jesus. Sheena goes, I saw you get undressed and was looking at that juicy booty. And then, which, honestly, girls say. Sheena goes, I did bring some toys for the hotel room. Like, okay, all right. We'll save the lusting for Brock when he's in the pool later.
Because, dear God, he was putting it on display.
Brock tells her about the conversation that he had with Luke. He goes, I don't know what I'm doing right now. Like, when I haven't been successful at anything and you're the main breadwinner of the family, I know that puts pressure on you. And all I want to do is take pressure off of you so you can enjoy yourself more. He definitely, maybe this is what he believes, but it was like he framed it in such a nice way of just, like, it's about taking pressure off of you because I love you so much.
Well, and this is why I'm like, I really think that there is space to repair this, and they're really not as far gone as everybody thinks they are.
Yeah, I agree with you. There was part of me in the back of my head was like, what are they showing on cameras versus...
Sure.
Because Sheena can be very...
I expect that from Sheena, but we've already seen earlier in the season where Brock is not that filtered.
Yeah, but I think it's really moments where he breaks, right? Like, I think
fair.
You know what I mean? I think he tries to put it up and then it breaks. And like...
Because it's not in his nature.
Yeah. Sheena tells him, but you do that. You take a lot of pressure off me. You're so available and present for my daughter when I do have to work. And
my daughter?
Sure. And when I do have to work, because this play is when she's not working. And that means the world. And she then goes... Look, put the sports ego and the manliness aside. And then she starts to tear up and goes, like, have you ever thought that this is your second chance at being a dad? And you're going to be the best fucking dad to this kid? I don't like the way she put that. Second chance at being... You know those kids. Like that's something you say when, like, you try to get pregnant and then you don't.
Right. Also,
not when the kids are living.
Also, it's a little... it's a little frustrating because she knows the full situation.
Yeah.
And she's acting still like the reason that he's not in his kid's life is because he's choosing not to be in his kid's life, which we know is not true. We like he is caught up on his child support, and his kid's mom has said she doesn't want him in their life.
Is that confirmed by the mom or like independent people that he's caught up in terms of that, or is it just...
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I can't remember. It's like, so
I'm pretty sure that they said that last year at the reunion.
Might have been.
It was brought up, maybe not last year. It might have been the year before.
Yeah, a lot was going on last year.
Well, I'm seeing it in my head. I like remember them talking about it, and they were on the left side of the stage, and Sheena was on the right.
That might have been season 9
last year. Yeah, so season 9.
On her
9.
Good side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Brock starts crying too. He says in his confessional, "I don't want a pity party, but when I think about the parent I was with my other two, if I could talk to my 19-year-old self and say, 'Listen, you're going to be a good dad. Stick this out. Now I just got to work on building that relationship with my other two kids so that hopefully one day they're willing enough to bring them back into my life.'" And unless it was brought up before, I didn't realize he was 19.
Yeah.
That does change it a little bit for me.
Well, and also his other kids are twins. So it's not like he got her pregnant twice.
Right.
Like this was one pregnancy. This was like, it was a it wasn't like a series of fuck ups. It was one fuck up that led to so much stress that and I'm not excusing the allegations of physical violence, because that's a serious issue right. that he really needs to deal with.
And he copped to it.
Right. But it's like, this was a, like, just a shitty situation.
Yeah.
And he was, and is still trying to do the best that he can to make that situation better.
Right.
So, I mean.
Now, what I will say, the only thing where because I was like, oh, I feel bad for Brock. I see his side and things. And then I remind myself, oh, wait, he named his daughter Summer Moon when he has apparently one of the children's name is Winter.
It's Winter like, Sky.
That's where I have an issue.
Yeah, that to me, like, is just. And if he has another child named Spring Daisy, I'm going to lose my shit.
Right. It's like, oh, okay. You got to, like, that's so reckless. And you're in your 30s. You can't say you were 19.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Or autumn leaves.
I died laughing because the server then brings over, again, all these gag things. They have an espresso martini that they put like a sparkle, one of those like sparklers in. And they light it. Brock then goes, "I love you, honey. I think we need to, we do need help and get counseling." But as Brock is talking, it's like, wah, 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 background. And like, Sheena is just staring at this sparkler. Like
it's cast a spell on her.
Yeah. It's like a longing look or something like that.
Wistful almost.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's like, what is this? Did we slip into a Hallmark movie for a second? What's happening?
It's so strange. Yeah.
Maybe it was an audition for a Hallmark movie. She saw a director across the room. She was like, let me just audition here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we're good.
Okay.
Because she needed a Lifetime movie after Ariana had one.
Yeah. Well, she was on her and Brock were on that Lopez versus Lopez show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Guest appearance. I saw a clip. Sheena actually could do good on those type of shows. Like, it's the very, like, live studio audience vibe shows. She actually is pretty good at that. Let's go by this next scene as quick as humanly possible. Swartz rolls up to Sandoval's house with, this car with, like, the hood down or whatever. And Sandoval's like, "Hey, what's going on, man?" And then, like, jumps in the car. And they have this whole cinematic scene. It was like something I like Dumb and Dumber. It was so stupid.
Honestly.
Like, they're playing music and Sandoval's like bopping around. And fuck. It's like, alrighty then.
Is it just me or did it feel a little racist?
Oh, okay, explain that. I feel like this is the week where we're just like, this is racist.
I feel like he was trying to do a caricature of 90s blaxploitation.
Yeah, I don't think that's what he thought, but like, well, here's the thing. He just had, like, he does this, like, weird, it's, I don't think it's explicitly blaxploitation. I think it's like, he does, well, because notice at the James's house later, he's wearing this, like, 70s shirt. Like, he's like, he thinks he's like, I don't know what he's doing. Like,
no, well, here's the thing. I've said this multiple times this season. He thinks he's a character in a movie.
Yeah.
Everything he does is directed and produced in his head. He is reading from a script.
1,000%.
And
we'll get to the tattoo parlor.
It's a lot. Yeah. Like, once you see it through that filter, then you start to catch it.
I'm so observant of it now.
Where he's like, directing himself. You can see him, like, imagine the camera angle and play to the cameras. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's mind-numbing.
Okay, well, we'll just say it now, right? So there gets to a point where he's talking with Schwartz at the tattoo shop, right, or whatever, when Schwartz is getting his tattoo. And he says something like, you know, if I can live with my ex, I can live with... Oh, shit! And then, like, I'm sorry.
It's a pratfall.
He does a pratfall. It's a fucking pratfall. And he slays splayed face first on the ground after the fall for, like, what feels like 30 seconds still. Because he's like, it is like a get the shot. You know what I mean? I clocked it from the moment he did it. I was like, this is fake. This is all fucking fake.
It's everything. It, like, anytime he fucking cries on camera or doesn't cry but makes a cry face,
yeah,
you can literally see the wheels turning behind his eyes where he's like, does this look good? Am I at the right angle?
Well, and also when he's like being like, when he's interacting with someone who's like not on his side, right? When like, yeah, especially later and stuff like that, like, this is where just his real personality comes out, which is terrible. But, and it's anytime with, it's just a scene with him and Schwartz particularly. Mm-hmm. He has planned it out. And it's just, he talks differently. He, like, yeah, his cadence is different. The words he uses is different. The, like, motions he goes through is different. It's all different, which means it's fucking fake.
Well, it's really well, like, you can see it really well in the scene, I think last week, from when James comes in and says, fuck you and your stupid ass band.
Yeah.
Because he starts off that film reading, or that scene reading from the script, right? Sandoval does.
Yeah, he has his prepared fuck Rachel speech.
And then when James flips it on him,
he doesn't know what to do.
He hit the tone of voice changes. He immediately goes to that, oh man, kind of voice. And gets super petulant and angry.
Yeah.
Like, it's an immediate switch. It's like someone literally flipped a switch. And so it's so easy to clock now.
Yeah. Schwartz says in the confessional, this is not a midlife crisis. This is a midlife revival. It's whatever you got to say, bro. Honestly. And they, like, cinematically jump out of the car, like, in slow motion.
Ugh.
Schwartz is getting a tattoo of Gordo and Butters, which is actually a decent tattoo, you know, fine enough. It's not that, like, the actual tattoo is not the worst part.
The worst part is the person that it's on.
Sure. They talk about how Kyle Chan has invited all of them out to San Francisco, cause he's unveiling a new whiskey that he's, like, come out with. So he's doing, like, a party for it and all that stuff. Schwartz goes, any update on the house? And Sandoval goes, dude, I think we can live together. That's not what Schwartz... No! What Schwartz means, Sandoval, is, dude, any update on getting out of this fucking house you are living in with Ariana? You know, you still have to do stuff, like, to get, like, in that process, right?
Well, and I get... Here's the thing. I understand that finding a new place to live, yeah, is part of this process, right? Like, clearly... You have to move out of the old place into a new one.
Yeah.
It's part of the process. But he's done nothing to move out. You can't move in before you get rid of the old place. Yeah.
Spoiler alert, Ariana FaceTimes Dan later on the treadmill. And Dan's like, oh, what's the progress on the house? And Ariana's like, well, they did say that they were going to be on a FaceTime call with the realtor. And then they cut downstairs to the FaceTime call, and it's a realtor about a different house that he wants to buy, like the Schwartz, like debauchery pad or whatever the fuck. It's not even about the fucking current house and how to get out of it.
Yeah.
That is so, like, again, the man is irresponsible. He's just utterly irresponsible. Like,
it's not that he's irresponsible. I completely believe that this is vindictive behavior. He's trying to trap Ariana in this house.
Yes, but I think, like part of it is, like, because he's still trying to convince Schwartz to move in with him, right? He's still trying to do that. Sandoval literally goes, I already have a soda gun and beer taps and everything. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's not even like he thinks he's in his 20s anymore. He thinks he's, like, 12.
Yeah.
Like, you want to move in? I have a beer tap. What, you don't even have the house. Like, you don't even have the fucking house together. Like, what the, like, it's
asinine.
It's utterly, yeah, it's crazy. We then see James and Allie going to get facial workouts at this, like, place. This shit feels like a scam to me. I'm sorry.
The fuck is a okay, so maybe it makes sense in Hollywood.
Oh, only in Hollywood, like nowhere else.
Well, in that Hollywood has a lot of actors.
Sure.
And a lot of acting is face work.
Sure. And it's supposed to, like, contour things, and, like, I don't get it.
I don't either. Oh, speaking of contour things, do you know if James has gotten that fat removal thing from his cheeks or not?
I don't think so.
Because it looks like it.
I think he's just very taut. Maybe because he stopped drinking. I don't know. Like,
maybe. But, like, it just seems like he seems more, like, concave there.
Sure. He always has had a very distinct jaw.
Right. But I'm talking about, like, on his cheek. Like, his cheeks look indented now.
Yeah.
In a way that, you know how people are getting that fat removal from the cheeks specifically to do that. And it's like, did you do that, James?
Yeah.
I hope not, because it's an awful look on literally everyone who does it.
Him and Allie are discussing things because Allie has a wedding for a friend of hers that she is wanting to go to. And so they're trying to organize things. And she asked, like, did you text Summer at Vanderpump Dogs to, like, watch Hippie or whatever? And James, apparently, this is apparently a thing where James, like, doesn't want anyone other than, like, I think it's like what some, like, someone he's like, he'll do this one person to, like, watch Hippie, but, like, that's it or whatever. He's very, like, defensive of that. Allie's like, do you not trust anyone else to watch him? James goes, he's been through so much trauma. Like, it's not exactly the time to find some fucking stranger to, like, watch him or whatever. I was so confused as to what this was based on.
It's trauma.
Do you think it's like he is so, like, that they think that they're seemingly in a good enough place with Hippie right now in terms of, like, his behavioral stuff that he's worried that he'll, like, regress?
No, I think it's because the last time that Hippie was taken away from him, he ended up in a kill shelter.
Possibly.
And I think he's so terrified of something like that happening again that he's, like, he's irrational about it.
Well, and also because they talk later about how they're sleeping separately, they're getting to a place where they have to, because they have to. They've really quarantined the cats and the dogs in the house completely, it seems, to where they can't even, like, be in the same room. I think that's probably not the best idea.
I don't think that it's that they can't be in the same room. I think it's that,
well,
they just don't do well sleeping on the same bed together.
Possible. I mean, possibly.
Because the way that the animals like to cuddle with their owners,
yeah,
doesn't vibe with each other.
Yeah, I just think it's untenable in certain respects.
Completely.
And Allie's like, we gotta, like, actually, like, fix that part. We can't just, like, let it fester and stuff like that. It's gonna fuck with our relationship.
You have to get a bigger bed is what it ends up being. You need to get, like, a California king or a king so that there's room for all the animals and both of you. Like, my parents have, like, 80,000 dogs, not really, like, maybe 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But, like, for a very long time, all of them slept in their bed, but they have a king size bed, so there's room for it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you just have to have room for it and it'll be fine.
Yeah. I hope they can figure it out. Everyone starts going to Sir for Jackson James's brunch. event, but the girls are all sitting at the table, and then fucking Sandoval and Schwartz comes up and to them and says, "Hey, hi." Ariana's just in her phone, like actively being like, "I'm not even fucking." I think she like says like nods hi to Schwartz, but like that's it. Like, I get it, girl. Like, yeah. Again, it's just like stop inserting yourself like in this right. like, active like way. It's stupid. Lisa is talking to Guillermo, her business partner, and Lisa goes, "Why are we having a brunch hosted by Jax Taylor?" And Guillermo goes, "I think we're over capacity. Like, it's really good." And Lisa goes, "I know, but Jax Taylor has been so disrespectful to me publicly. How does..." Okay. This is where it's like, okay, you're losing me, show. You're really losing me. How does Lisa not know that Jax is hosting a brunch at this place?
Yeah, especially day of.
That doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, she had to approve that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's confusing. And she's really pissed at Jax for, like, some of the stuff he said on, like, podcasts. They play a clip where, like, one of the interviewers is like, "Is there any point of Lisa, like, being on this show anymore?" Which, honestly, T.
I mean, yeah.
And Jax calls her a prop next to Andy Cohen at the reunions and, like, that's it and all that.
I love Lisa Vanderpump sometimes, but, like, find the lie.
Yeah.
Where is he wrong?
Nowhere. I really don't think he... And it gets into, like, deeper things as well, which we'll get to, but James sits down at one point to tell Lisa, like, yeah, it's just something he's been, like, asking for or whatever to do. Jax then walks in and immediately goes, hello, can I sit down? Like, and I'm sorry. Okay. I don't ever like to give Jax praise or credit for anything, but like I said, he doesn't flinch. People were saying like, well, this kind of feels like the a redux of the moment with Stassi, where it's right. like the you're not important enough to hate sit down.
Uh-huh.
But it's not, because Jax owns this conversation.
Yeah,
he's not intimidated by her, because I don't. Again, he has been given so much power because he's been given these shows.
Yeah,
Jax. Lisa goes, "I mean, if you have to sit down," and Jax goes, "Well, I do. I have to, if you don't mind." And Lisa goes, "Well, I kind of do." Jax goes, "Oh, you want me to stand up?" I think he owns her. He really owns her in this conversation. Lisa goes, "I don't even really want to see you here, to be honest." Lisa goes, "The way you come here, expecting things to be all calm and cozy." And Jax goes, "Okay." And she goes, "And here you are on a podcast saying Lisa's a prop. She's not needed. She's superfluous. That's what you said, superfluous." And Jax goes, "I don't even know what that word means."
I genuinely do not believe the word superfluous came out of his mouth.
Yeah, and Lisa goes, "Oh, grow up, Jax." And Jax goes, "Everyone knows my vocabulary doesn't go that high." And then James pulls out his phone and says, "Okay, it means unnecessary, especially through me." Wild. And Jax goes, "Oh, is that how you spell it?" Again, he just is cool, calm, and collected. And yeah. not calm, but like he doesn't flinch with Lisa. And I think that made Lisa look so small in this scene. And I don't think Lisa is used to looking small. I think she was really shocked at the reunion where Lala's like, "Well, that's your opinion. You can keep it to yourself." And like checking them and not having fealty like the ones on Vanderpump Villa do.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even just that. Like, Ariana also has, like, said last reunion that there would be a problem between her and Lisa.
Yeah.
Like, with the continued relationship with Sandoval.
Yeah.
And like, people are, this cast is starting to realize she's not even here.
Yeah.
Like, she's not involved in anything we're doing. None of us work for her. Why?
Yeah. Lisa goes, "I mean, I could have hit back and say that the only person that wasn't needed on this show was you," which sounds like a good line. But when you think about it, it's like, okay, but then why is he here now? He's been on two episodes of this new season now that he's not even on, that he's not even a cast member on.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Jax goes, "So here we go. The last 3 years, you haven't checked in on me and my wife. You wrote me off after 10 years. And Jax and Brittany elaborate this on the after show, where they're like, she never checked in on Brittany once when she was pregnant. She, you know, never like a text or a phone call. Brittany reiterates this as well. She's like, I guess she had heard through the grapevine that we were upset about. And then suddenly she sent flowers and was like, you know, oh, I was working on sending them or whatever. like 3 weeks or whatever after like Britney gave birth. And like, I believe that. I actually think that's probably true.
Especially with, again, I hate to give Jax Taylor credit, but the dynamic between him and Stassi is what made this goddamn show.
Yeah. It wasn't Period. Lisa, necessarily.
It wasn't Lisa. It wasn't the Toms, who were two bit characters at the beginning.
Yeah.
It was the dynamic between Stassi and Kristen and Jax.
Yeah. A little bit of Sheena.
A little bit of Sheena, but it was those three that made, mainly those three. Sheena gets credit for the show getting on the air. Mm-hmm. Stassi, Jax, and Kristen are the reason it's still on the air.
Yeah. Period. And I think, but that's the thing. It's like Brittany kind of talks about it. It's like she presents as like this motherly figure who really cares for all of us. And we're like her children and stuff like that. But then we leave the show and we don't hear a goddamn thing from you.
Yeah.
I could see why that could be fucking frustrating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jax also said something on the after show about like, she would cry to me about like stuff that was going on Housewives of Beverly Hills and like, be like, you're the only one I can talk to about it. I don't believe that. I really, that doesn't make any sense in my mind that like she was upset about Kyle. So she went to talk to Jax fucking Taylor about it.
I feel, here's the thing. Jax rarely outright lies. He routinely exaggerates the truth. So what I feel like happened is she was sitting in Sir,
yeah,
upset about something. He went and checked on her.
She like said what it was, and that was like,
and she said what it was and said something about, and I can't talk to any of the girls on that cast.
Yeah, probably.
And that's all that it was.
That's what it morphed into. Jack says, look, if I said something in the heat of the moment, I apologize. And they hug, you know, and all that stuff. But it wasn't like that Jack, again, it wasn't that Jack's like bowed to her or was like, you know, shrunk in any way. He kind of owned her in this conversation.
Even in the big fight between Kyle and LVP in that last season of Beverly Hills, Kyle still didn't stand toe to toe with LVP.
Yeah.
Like, they really schooled Kyle. This is the first time that someone has stood unflinchingly across from Lisa.
Yeah, and she looks weak. And that is not a place that Lisa Vanderpump has ever been. Yeah. Jackson goes and sits by the girls' table and goes, hey, guys. And Lyle's like, oh, hey. Katie's already annoyed because Katie does not fuck with Jax. She goes, I am not a fan of Jax Taylor. Whenever somebody has to talk about how much they've changed or just trying to sell themselves to be something, the less of that they are, which is so accurate.
Which is fair. Yeah.
Oh my God. Jax then goes, Ariana, hey, so I'm not a gossiper. And then all the women go like, dude,
where?
And then he goes, are you aware that Schwartz may be moving into your home? And apparently, is that like, of course, Jax is going to spread this shit. But literally, he found out about this 4 minutes beforehand, talking to Schwartz in the parking lot. And Schwartz literally goes, please don't tell anybody. And Jax goes, I'm not going to tell anybody. Immediately goes to the table. Hey, Ariana.
Also, Schwartz.
Even for Jax, that's crazy.
Also, they weren't talking about Schwartz moving into that house. They were talking about getting another house together.
Right, but he had, originally it was to move into house. And now Sandoval's like, Sandoval doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Jax goes, are you okay with that? And Ariana goes, here's what I would love to know. Where's my money? in all this. Also, people were confused because as Ariana's talking to Jax, she has this like napkin like fully over her chest, like as if she was like, people were like, is she like not wanting to get food on her dress, or is she like, oh God, Jax is here, like cover my boobs.
I could see it being either.
Yeah. Ariana says her confessional, listen, once I get what is rightfully mine, I don't really give a fuck. It could be the Mojo Dojo Casa house until the dawn of the next century. Like,
yeah.
And also, again, this and the conversation with Schwartz later, this was also a bad episode if you were going to be an Ariana hater of like, she's too emotional. She like dwells on everything. She's, you know, in her feelings too much. Clearly she's not. She's just like, once you pay me my money and like do whatever the fuck you want with that house, I honestly don't care anymore. Lala then, when they're talking about this, Lala does a Sandoval impression, goes, I got a bright idea, man. How about we get out, when we get Ariana out, you just take over. Whoa. Can you be, it was funny, but it was like, can you be any more of a fucking flip flop, Lala?
Like, pick a side. You and Sheena both need to pick a fucking side. I've said it before.
And not just in terms of like you're saying nice things and mean things and it's a different person. This is about the fucking house.
Yeah.
Which has been the crux of your issue, seemingly, with Ariana.
Yep.
Ugh. James then invites them all over to the pool party. And it doesn't come all across, but Jax, I think, says something about, like, I got to call Brittany to, like, see if I can go. Lala goes, I need to call my husband to make sure it's okay I come. And, like, does her, like, fake, a fake phone thing, like, as a joke. Because she's like, I don't have a husband. Brock then goes, hello? Lala, you're calling me. And then they cut to Sheena because Sheena just made a comment about worrying about Brock and Lala.
I thought that was so funny.
Oh, great. Oh, my God. And then so Sandoval and James then are at the bar. James comes over and James invites him to the house as well. He's like, thanks, man. James goes, you know, with you, man, I don't wake up feeling angry. Like, I don't think as men we should let it go to that, basically.
Okay.
And then Sandoval goes, that's good for you to recognize that. That's big. And I was like, oh, go fuck yourself. But then immediately James goes, well, you need to recognize how you sound, bro, because I hope it's not like you going back, you know, going to be in this next 6 months when you look back and are like, I sounded like a fool.
Honestly,
when James checking Sandoval has been so good the last few episodes, it's just been like, dude, listen to yourself. They then go to James's house for the pool party. I swear to God, Jax arrives at this pool party at this house. I swear he took like a bump in the car. Like he
maybe two.
He walks into the house. He's redder. Like he's now suddenly wearing sunglasses this rest of this fucking time because I guarantee you his eyes are glassy or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like he is fucked up at this party. He literally goes, let's go. Like so like pumped. Oh man. It was scary.
Pumped closed.
Yeah. The girls are okay. I forgot how it comes up, but like, there gets to a point where the ladies are discussing because Ariana talks about them being the Spice Girls this season, which she finds out later that that's not the case. But then they're all discussing like what Spice Girl they are. Lala's like, I'm definitely posh. And Katie goes, no, I'm posh. We literally had to have a discussion breakdown of like who is who.
Like, so we clearly Ariana is Ginger Spice.
Ariana is Ginger because she's the definitive leader, I feel. Or
Allie is baby.
Allie is definitely baby. I think, did we settle that Katie is sporty?
No.
I think Katie is probably posh in the sense that she definitely wears all black more often.
But like also her vibe is very similar to that of Victoria Beckham.
Right.
Like they're very similar creatures.
I think the reason I had said sporty for Katie is I actually think she looks like Mel C.
That's fair.
She actually looks like her a lot. But I do agree. I think she's posh. And so then because we then have sporty and scary. I think we said scary's Lala and sporty is Sheena.
Correct.
I think that's probably right.
Yeah, I think that's right.
James walks in. Oh, so before that, Katie's telling them also about like Allie had apparently confided in her about like the issue about like the wedding and like the cats and hippie and all that stuff. James walks into the room and Lala goes, we're talking about you. So then they start to discuss this. James is like, so my brother's out of town like the same weekend. Katie goes, I mean, would you be open to maybe someone besides Harry, like, watching Hippie? And James goes, maybe, like, next year. Like, maybe, like, Christmas time. I'll give her Christmas. And it's starting to become, like, I think this whole conversation got frustrating because it got to the point where James got very over-exasperated. And when James is defensive, he just keeps talking, and not listening. And I think they were just trying to be like, no, we understand how you're feeling, but, like...
Well, I think he was also, like... It seemed very much like he was verging on a panic attack.
It gave that vibe in a way, yeah.
And so I understand why he wasn't able to listen because he got tunnel vision, like he's getting that rush of wind in his ears, like that panic mode.
Yeah.
And because all he can see is Hippie in a kill shelter.
Right.
I truly believe that that's what this is about. Is that last time he was separated from Hippie, this is what happened.
Yeah. He goes, he's not ready yet. Like, I'd rather stay at home with him. Lola goes, okay, but then Allie's suffering. She would want her partner to be there with her. And he, and like, the, James is like finishing her sentence. Like, be there with her. Yes. Like, cause he kind of just, he's like, I get it. I get it. Lola goes, and she comes and supports you with everything that you do. Like, she's taken on this dog that she did not sign up for. Like, you know, Lola was making fair points.
Yeah.
I would say to this.
What's frustrating though is Lola is acting like logical arguments can change the fact that there is literal, like, emotional damage.
Yeah,
happening.
I think you have to, the thing is, you have to leave it with, like, why are you hurting? Like, why are you so emotional about this? Why is this such a trigger for you?
Right, and she doesn't.
Yeah.
Because she's not nearly as smart as she thinks she is.
James goes, I'm going to have an anxiety attack as soon as I leave. Like, get on the plane. And Katie goes, look, we all have animals. Like, we know how it feels. James goes, guys, if he's a fur baby and anyone takes that term fucking actually seriously, if you two have babies, how many nannies did you actually go through? I don't want anyone doing that to him. I don't trust anybody. Like, yeah. Getting really exasperated. And then he starts crying and goes, I'm never going to let anyone keep us apart ever again. Lala gets real offended by, like, the comparison of, like, the babies to, like, whatever. She says to her confessional, please do not ever compare it to me finding childcare, you buffoon. It's very clear that in this relationship, James comes first and Allie comes second. You cannot allow the man to ever come first. This, I was like, okay, one, Lala, like don't be in your feelings about this. Like,
this feels very reactionary.
Yeah, like, first off. And also, he's more talking about, like, Ariana says, like, fur babies, like, in
right.
Which I get, like, yeah, it's fine. It's a human child, whatever. It's not the point. But also, like, I find it so interesting that she's, like, part of what she has advocated for as to why she's moving this season with Sandoval and Schwartz and all that of, like, I have these perceptions of men, right? And that because of that, like, I shit on men and I see the worst in them and I can't look at them positively. And that's why I'm, like, letting Sandoval and Schwartz in, like, in certain moments. But here she's like, you can never let the man be, like, why? Again, this is what Katie talks about of, like, you're not exhibiting across the board.
Right.
Like, why are you not exhibiting that with James?
Right. Well, and it's frustrating because it's like, she's tacitly invalidating Ariana.
Yeah.
With this. And it's just like, okay, just because you don't, I'm the kind of person who gives a side eye to anyone who doesn't understand the fur baby thing. Because if you literally look at the bond that a pet and their owner have, and you are like, well, this is just less than because yeah. that's not a human.
There's something emotionally fucked up with
it's
you.
It's verging on sociopathic to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's a reason that serial killers start with animals.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you're not expressly saying, like I hate animals and I have no detachment to animals, but you're saying it enough of a way to
right.
where it's like,
it's giving me pause. I'm giving you side eye.
Yeah. Oh my God. They're outside and Jax is talking to Brock and Jax, like, again, he's like, you guys don't drink. Like, I'm
Jesus
drinking.
Christ.
I'm a father. I have the babysitter. The wife said it's okay. I'm going to fucking drink. It's like,
Jesus Christ, dude.
And then
maybe you need to not drink. Maybe you need to drink some water.
I cracked up because Sheena to the side goes, every time Jack tells you he's a dad, take a drink. Because he does that. Like, I'm a fucking dad, guys. Can you believe it?
No, actually, still to this day.
Yeah. James tells Katie, did you talk to Jax yet? And Schwartz goes, yeah, he's like not happy with you because you found like a picture on Reddit. Which is such, again, stupid. And Katie breaks down in the confessional why it's so stupid. She goes, there were rumors about Jax cheating on Brittany online that thousands of people saw. And now Jax is blaming me for the rumors being out there in the world. And then she goes, this man doesn't know how the internet works. Like,
this is the same issue that I have with people getting mad over who brings something up on camera.
Right.
It's like, we all knew, we all read the article.
Yeah.
Like, We're not dumb.
We know it exists. Like,
this is not the early days of Housewives.
And Katie didn't even expressly... All Katie said in that clip, in that lunch, was, I still see stuff about Jax all the time. In
she
terms
didn't
of
say,
negative stories.
She didn't say, that man is a cheater. That man is actively cheating right now.
Right.
Like, she never said that. She just said, well, there's still rumors out there. So you kind of always have to question a little bit.
Yeah. Schwartz then calls Jax over. Notice Schwartz calls Jax over and then leaves the situation, leaves Katie to dry, basically. Great guy. Katie goes, what are you on about, man? And Jax goes, what are you on about? Because I took a picture with a female.
Okay.
Which, by the way, Katie might be right in this, because now in real time, Brittany has unfollowed Jax on social media. Also unfollowed their joint publicist, Lori,
right,
who Jax has been photographed with, seeming very lovingly for a publicist, I feel. And like that's been a rumor around for a little bit.
Well, and
now
in,
they've unfollowed each other.
They're in Toronto with the Toms,
yeah,
right now.
So maybe Katie had a point.
Maybe.
Katie goes, the internet talks about you. And Jax goes, the internet talks about you too. And Katie goes, great, I'm glad. He's like, good, let them talk about me. Also, as Katie is doing this, she is checking Jax in this moment while she's wearing this like cutoff top that says boys lie on it. So
fabulous.
Poetic.
Fabulous.
James then tells Jax, why are you getting so angry right now? Because, of course, James having Katie's back. Love it. Jax says, I'm not angry, but to do that to my family... Oh, fuck off. Like,
that is nothing compared to what you've done to your family, sir. Yeah. I just...
He goes, why don't you talk to Brittany? Why don't you talk to her? And Katie goes, because I don't like you. Katie goes, Jax has, in her confessional, Jax has always been a completely unhinged, and this is why I don't fuck with him. And I mean, I feel bad for Brittany, but like, your husband's a disgusting pig.
Yeah.
And they also talk about this more in the after show, that a lot of this is also spawned by the whole reason why Stassi and Jax aren't friends, because of Jax last minute, like extremely last minute, canceling going to Stassi and Bo's wedding in Paris. And like the way he weaves this fucking story in the after show about like, what did he say? It was something about like Britney's mom's best friend's husband died or something.
Well,
and so it was, that's why we had to drop everything and like whatever. But then Katie reveals, no, actually like this was going on for a while. And like, there's literally text threads where he brags about he's going to go on a golfing trip instead.
Well, and we've known all of this, right? Yes. This has been out there for a while,
but he's still lying about it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that we still don't really know, but I tend to trust Katie over anybody else.
Right. And Stassi.
Like, right.
And it's yeah.
Cause Stassi has no skin in this game. Like, she has no reason to lie about it.
Right. And yeah, would it be nice if like Katie was friends with Brittany still? Yeah, but I also understand her being collateral damage in that regard, just generally from a marriage, but also like Brittany is someone who will actively make excuses for Jax,
right,
all the fucking time.
As she says over and over and over again, she stands by that man.
Yeah.
And so you can't be friends with someone that is constantly apologizing and standing up for someone you actively hate.
Yeah. It's untenable.
And think how difficult that would be for Brittany.
Right.
Like, how difficult it would be to try to maintain a friendship with someone who hates your husband.
Yeah.
Whether they are right or not, that's difficult.
Schwartz then pulls Ariana to the side at this party. And then Schwartz sits down with her and he goes, I want to address something. Like, I know we're fine. You know, Tom and I, we were speaking in hypotheticals, and immediately Ariana goes, Jax already brought this up to me earlier. So it's, he promised he wouldn't say anything. It's like, okay. But you knew telling Jax that it was
It's Jax.
Schwartz goes, I'm not going to do that. And then he pauses and goes, well, I can't afford it. It's like, oh, that makes it better.
But like, also Schwartz doesn't want to do this.
I don't think he really does, but I think he can be convinced. Like, I really think Sandoval is doing everything to convince him.
Well, yeah, because it's Sandoval.
Yeah.
He could be convinced to do anything if it's Sandoval doing the convincing.
Right. Schwartz goes, would you hate me if I did move in there? And Ariana goes, no. Schwartz goes, oh, okay. That's the complete opposite reaction I thought you were going to have. I thought you were going to strike me down with great vengeance. I'm like, I'm sure you wanted that. Because we're casting this narrative that Ariana is so
right.
emotional. And yeah, it fucks with that narrative, doesn't it, Schwartz? That yeah. She's just like, whatever.
And the thing is that it's frustrating because I always feel like I'm apologizing for Schwartz. I don't feel like that's his thought process. A lot of people seem to think that he's a lot more malicious than I really think he is. And that's because I really just don't think he's smart enough to be that malicious and that playing and vindictive.
Right.
I think he lashes out in moments, but I don't think it's ever planned. That sort of thinking is Sandoval's thinking. Sandoval, absolutely. And maybe there's like...
That's true. And I think like there's been moments like when Ariana blew up on him and Sandoval was like, that's what she did to me the whole relationship. And Schwartz kind of wasn't really co-signing it. Schwartz has tried... I've noticed a lot. He'll just shift the conversation.
Right.
He'll just like new topic, not engage it really.
Right.
Like and we said like, especially on the after show, he looks like he doesn't want to be there when Sandoval is like...
But this, it's still toxic, right?
Yeah.
Because this is the same sort of behavior that allows shit like this. Like, it happens all over the place. Men won't confront each other.
Right.
If you're friends with someone and they do something fucked up, you just leave it.
Yeah.
You don't say anything. This is an unspoken rule. Like... You do what Schwartz is doing. You avoid the conversation. You change the topic. You do whatever you need to do to not have that conversation with that person because you know that it's going to cause tension.
Yeah.
You know that it's going to cause a rift in the space-time continuum.
And you've said that before with Schwartz, that that's the vibe that you get, that it's like that he doesn't want to like rock the boat.
But it's endemic of toxic masculinity, and it's the reason that this toxicity continues.
Yeah.
It's the same reason that we have men out here going, no, my friend could never rape that woman, and like absolutely, like you've seen him roofie people and joked about it.
Yeah.
Like, but now you think... Now you think it's impossible. You know how he treats women. You've seen this with your own eyes. Why are you acting surprised?
Yeah.
This is that culture.
Right. Sandoval and Kyle Chan then arrive. And just immediately as they arrive, the mood goes... You can just feel the mood goes down. There's just an aura about him that's just so dark to me. And speaking of fucking dark, he like says hi to James. Hey, man, how's it going? And like Kyle says hi. And James like, oh, you haven't seen the house, Kyle. Let me show you around. Hippie is by Sandoval's feet. Sandoval, when James leaves with Kyle Chan, pets Hippie and then goes, if I ever talk to your mommy again, I'll tell her you said hi. You motherfucker. I fucking hate him.
Bite him.
Bite his ass.
No, not his ass. Ankle, right. Maybe.
But again, this... Oh, he's so depressed. He's so... No, he fucking isn't. When he's making comments like that.
At all.
Also, when the next time I see her. When are you going to see her in fucking court?
Who?
You're not going to fuck. Like, ooh. Like, I... Like, he didn't... There was no... He wasn't being pushed against a wall. He wasn't being attacked. He wasn't even being talked to. And he made a comment like that. So stop acting as if, like, anything that he does is because he's been attacked and he's been taking it to him.
Yep. But
no, this is who this man fucking is.
Fucking hate him.
Ugh. Nicer thing, Brock is in the pool in his Speedo. It's really good.
Well, especially because like the camera shot is like right up between his legs. It's like, why do you have to, like, it's on a platter. Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah. Sheena goes up to him and goes, and it's definitely like, it's they've been there for a couple hours because it was daylight and now it's like dark, right?
Right.
Like Sheena goes, we got to go home soon. Like our baby has a bedtime and I would like to put her down.
And then immediately all thoughts of attraction to this man fall away.
Well, he goes, or the babysitter can and we can have some fun times together. Like, please. And Sheena goes, look, we had fun times today, honey. Like, you know, it was like the vibe of like, you know, when you're younger and you're on like your parents take you to like a jungle gym or someplace. And it's like, okay, it's time to go home in like 10 minutes. And he's like, no, I don't wanna.
It's like, very bad.
Yeah. So Lala then asks like, what's wrong, Sheena? And Sheena goes, bedtime. Kids got a bedtime. Like, just not making a thing about it. And then Brock starts yelling from the pool. That's not my problem. My problem is you don't want to let the nanny put the kid down when she's perfectly capable. And everyone clearly hears it because Ariana and Schwartz look at them.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, you didn't have to yell at her about it in front of all these people.
Well, but it's also, why are you yelling about this to her when you clearly know that this is a symptom of her OCD?
Yeah, at the very least. Not let like, alone like...
You know that this is her having like... these intrusive thoughts about, I need to be the one to put her to bed. I need to be the one to read her, because if I don't do that, then I'm going to risk, you know, not having a, it's this catastrophe cycle.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is her mental illness. Leave her alone.
And you're embarrassing about it,
right,
in public. Like, yeah. She goes, I want to read her the Halloween books. I want her to have those moments with her. So if I can get home by 9 o'clock to put my kid down, I would like to. She like Ariana again, being the good friend that Ariana is, by the way, because Ariana's a distant friend. She's never a good friend to her. Sees that Sheena's upset. Ariana gets up and goes, I'm just going to go check on Sheena real quick. The problem is Sandoval then walks up to Sheena and Lala goes, so you guys come here often, with his stupid fucking joke that no one likes. Ariana sees it and turns around and goes, or not. And then goes right back to where she was, not being near him. Sheena and Kyle Chan and Tom are talking then. And she brings up like, oh, you know, San Francisco, that'll be fun. And I'm performing both my songs, right? They talk about it. And then Sheena goes, have you heard my song? To Sandoval, a little poke in the bear, but whatever. Sandoval goes, yeah, I heard it. You know, it's been a lot, you know. It's not even about the song. It's from like you specifically. Like, it's been a lot. And Sheena goes, that I can understand. I was coming at it from... what you two did to Ariana, it fucked me up in more ways than one. You know, the friendship, the restraining order, and yeah, did I decide to, if you want to call it, capitalize on it? Sheena's also a little tipsy. Like, she's a little drunk.
Sure, but I love how even though she's drunk in this moment, how she's still, like, making space for his emotions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, she's still going, I understand,
but this
why
is my
you
emotions.
Are upset, but this is how I feel. This is, I felt like this was more emotionally mature from Sheena than she's ever had. Maybe she needs to be this drunk more often.
Sure. Sandoval then goes, I mean, it was almost like you were like 100 times more reactive than Ariana. Now, here's what I will say. There's some dialogue I saw online of being like, I hate it to my soul, but Sandoval kind of ate here.
Where?
Here. Well, okay. Here is my thing. We have said before Sheena has made this as if it's her, like, that she is more aggrieved than Ariana. We said that in the early parts of the season when she was crying in the bed in Tahoe, being like, why can't it be about me? He was my friend. Like,
sure.
Like, I understand that, and I understand when Sandoval is saying that stuff, there is a feeling that can happen of like, ooh, he kind of made a point there. But it's coming from him. And so, therefore, and at the end of the day, like, I'm still fuck Sandoval in this argument, but also like Sheena, I don't feel bad for you because this is what was inevitably going to happen when you gave him passes and tried to pursue a friendship with him and be like, I saw real tears from him. He's definitely remorseful.
Sure. I think that part is valid, but I also am starting to realize that a lot of this was amplified because of her other mental health issues.
Yeah.
And so it's hit her very hard in a way that is maybe not equal to the actual impact that it should have had.
Sure.
So I'm willing to extend some grace on those merits.
Yeah, I know what you mean by that.
Not right. In how she has reacted and the way that she has lashed out at Ariana and Katie.
But it's better to know that, like, maybe there's a reason. Right.
Right. I can at least understand.
Beyond Lala's reason, which is just, like, I need to be a producer puppet on this show.
Right.
Sheena goes, but you know why that was? Because all you had to do, and Sandoval goes, all you had to do was not do that. Like, just don't be emotional, I guess, which is kind of stupid. And then Sheena goes,
especially for Sheena.
Sheena goes, all you had to do was keep your mouth shut because of what he was doing at the reunion about promoting the idea that, like, she hit Rachel and all that stuff. Sandoval goes, Sheena, I need you to understand something.
Nope.
Not the tone.
Wrong road.
Not the tone.
Wrong
dude.
Road.
You are not involved in this. You did not get cheated on. She did not fuck Brock. I'm shocked that it also didn't come up in this conversation. Again, there is substantial evidence that you instructed people to put out baseless rumors that Raquel also fucked Brock. That is also playing into this.
I also love the fact that he puts the action on Rachel.
Right.
It's Rachel didn't fuck Brock, not Brock didn't cheat on you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not Brock didn't inflict this pain, because the translation is
Rachel's
that Rachel
fault.
Fucked me.
Yeah.
I didn't do this. I didn't inflict this on Ariana.
Yeah.
Rachel did it.
She sent me the FaceTime call and I didn't know what to do, and she was just naked and she was like,
so Gina just hit screen record and then beat it.
Yeah. Sheena goes, she filed a motherfucking restraining order. And Sandoval goes, but why? So he's still doubling down on the, like, you know, Sheena did this.
Here's the thing. If Sheena could have made that fist, she would have in this moment.
Right. Sandoval then goes, why are you acting like you're the biggest victim in this whole scenario? And I'm just going to note, in terms of the comparison with the Ariana, like, Sheena is literally was crying in Tahoe about how Ariana makes her feel like she makes it all about herself and that it's not about her and all this stuff. When Ariana has never vocalized that to
correct.
Her. Never. She actually has listened to you talk about your feelings in terms of in the relation of I lost a friendship and has listened to you in terms of it. And you have still taken out on her as if she has said to you, you're making this about yourself. And here you have Sandoval expressly saying you are making this about yourself. Like, he is literally doing what Ariana has never done to you that you claim is why Ariana is not being a good friend to you. That does piss me off. So, like, I need Sheena to wake up to that. On the side, Lala goes, so many male voices being raised tonight. And Ariana goes, I know, there's a lot of male yelling and it's making me uncomfortable. Sandoval goes, the point I'm trying to say, Sheena, what you have done, it's like if I step on Kyle's shoe and he burns my house down.
Girl.
He still doesn't understand. Like, why do people think I'm not taking ownership? Because you're comparing a 7-month-long affair to scuffing Kyle Chan's shoe. Even if it was not towards Sheena, he doesn't get it. He doesn't fucking get it. Brock is now in the conversation at this point, and he goes, time out. You wrote a song, and you're singing about Schwartz's mom and fucking Raquel. Thank you for bringing that up.
Finally, someone points that out.
Because he can capitalize on it. Sandoval goes, it's not
and
even,
also made merch.
It's not even remotely close. You guys are acting more entitled to talk about events in my life than me. Well, the shoe's on the other foot now because you do that all the time. You inserted yourself in the situation. And Sheena goes, it's called friendship. Sheena then goes, do you know that I have fucked up thoughts about Brock and Lala, one of my best friends, because I'm like, oh my God, can someone do that to me? Because they did it to her. I think that shit. Sandoval goes, why is that my fault? And she goes, because you did that. You did that. Like,
it's so frustrating because Sheena makes good points here, but she doesn't fully develop them.
Yeah.
Like, okay, why is that? Like, go into that. Yeah. Give us more.
Can I also say the best part about this as Sheena's saying, like, I have these thoughts or whatever. James is right next to him going, yeah, I have those thoughts too. Like, James is so hype of me. Like, yeah.
But also, James is constantly worried about Brock Brock and Lala, or is it Allie and Lala now?
I don't know. One of the different. Sheena goes, I would now like to go home and put my kid down, and starts to walk away. As she's walking away, Sandoval goes, dude, you've been the other woman in a fucking relationship. Sheena then immediately, without breaking, circles back around, has her nail on, goes, fuck you, Tom.
That was so fucking nasty.
And off on the side, like, Ariana has a shocked look on her face. Lala goes, oh, hell no. Also, Lala, get up then. Get up and fucking confront Sandoval. Like, what are you doing? She goes, fuck you. When I was 21 years old in 2006, are you fucking kidding me? I didn't know he was married. Fuck you. Here's the thing. I don't believe that I didn't know he was married.
I believe that you purposefully ignored the fact that he was married
But again, I when she was 21 years old in 2006 is the point too.
Right.
Like, and like, so again, she got married, divorced, married again, like had a baby. So much has fucking happened since then.
Right. Like, to the point that even if I remember correctly, her and Brandy at least buried that hatchet.
Yeah.
They're not friends, but like, they're not angry. They're fine.
Yeah. Brock like has Sandoval by the neck kind of when he does. Like, he's getting, and he's like, she was 21, you were fucking 40. And Sandoval goes, so what? Katie off of the side goes, such a gross person. Like, I love that Sheena leaves and goes, Allie, I'm sorry for yelling in your house.
Backyard, but whatever. Sure.
Okay, but Lala's still seated for whatever reason. Ariana, as this happens, goes out, follows Sheena outside to comfort her.
Right.
Again, as the good fucking friend she is.
Right.
Who, she's never there for people.
Apparently.
And she's hugging Sheena and goes, he's fucking trash, honey. I love you so much. James goes, you're bringing up the bullshit past again. And Sandoval goes, aren't you bringing up the past when you put out that song? Isn't that 6 months ago? Aren't we trying to move on from that?
6 months as opposed to 18 years?
Like, close to 20 years ago this happened.
What?
Like, hey, motherfucker, let's get through a season of the show of post this, and then we can stop fucking talking about it. How about fucking that?
Wow.
Sheena had to go. I'm sorry. That happened in 2006. Sheena, when she first came on the show, had to go through a whole year again talking about her being the mistress.
Right.
As if it was new.
Yeah.
And so what the fuck? If she was able to fucking do that, suck it the fuck up.
And also sit through a very tense confrontation from Brandy.
Exactly.
Can you imagine being on the receiving end of angry Brandy Glint? Like, I couldn't.
And I saw a great tweet, which is like, any response that Sandoval makes of like, you're capitalizing off my pain, you're capitalizing off the affair that had nothing to do with you. Someone's made a great point, which is like, Sheena's response should be, well, guess what? My affair that I had has given you a career for 10 years.
Yeah.
How about fucking that? No one would know who the fuck you were.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for this show that was started because of my fucking affair.
Yeah.
So how about you've had 10 years of paychecks. You've gotten a restaurant out of it. All this stuff. I wrote a song. How about we're fucking even?
Right.
Ugh. That was Vanderpump Rules for this week. Ooh, fuck yeah. Sheena. I still don't love Sheena, but also I was when that nail got in his face, I was like, yes. Ugh.
Poke it like an olive on a fucking, like, just skewer it.
Yeah. We're gonna take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're talking the newest episode of The Valley. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello, friends. I'm your pal in the mainstream media.
And I'm the Riz.
And, you know, Riz, it takes years of strenuous, dedicated training before you're worthy to step inside a professional wrestling ring. But it takes even more time to develop complex, highly astute opinions about professional wrestling. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. And you know where we can find that?
Yes.
On the Wrestling Mayhem.
That's right.
I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin.
And if you're anything like us, you live your life out loud.
And when it comes to issues of discrimination, inequity, and outright bigotry, we use every platform we have to speak out against systems of oppression that perpetrate violence against marginalized groups.
That's why we are so proud to wear designs from the Survivors Know merch store. Their team has created designs that feature unapologetic, empowering, and survivor-centered messaging that range from mild,
like accountability is love and toxicity is not on the menu,
to a little more spicy,
like one of my favorites, fuck your laws, fuck your system, transformative justice now, which has a cute little happy flower on it.
Each design is available on a variety of items, from t-shirts and hoodies to bags, blankets, magnets, and even stickers. And as more items become available, the options will continue to grow.
100% of the proceeds go back into supporting the amazing work done at Survivors Know to support survivors, workers, and survivor advocates by organizing, challenging the status quo, and creating alternatives to the systems that fail us.
Support Survivors Know by shopping today at SurvivorsKnow.threadless.com.
That's SurvivorsKnow.threadless.com.
Sidekick Media Services. We are your sidekick in business for social media, video production, and more. Find out more at SidekickMediaServices.com.
Welcome back to A Gay and His MB. Let's head back to the valley where Jax throws a party celebrating a bald spot, and things get hairy when Jesse gets violent, causing Kristen to light a match and burn his world to the ground on the valley.
The valley for this week. If this franchise gets like multiple seasons after this, like in 5-10 years from now, I think this is the episode that we're going to look to as like, this is the iconic episode of the valley.
Yeah.
That last dinner was so fucking, it was scary, but I've never seen something, it's been a while since I've had like a scary moment like that.
Yeah.
On a Bravo show.
I thought he was going to start swinging.
Yeah. Yeah, I really think so. And it was like, what do we do then? What's going to happen? We're only 5 episodes in.
Yeah.
Like, of this new fucking franchise. Okay, we start the episode with Kristen and Luke at their apartment, and Kristen's talking about how she didn't feel like she got pregnant this cycle, and so it's kind of like a womp-womp, like, yeah. Frustrating thing to her. Kristen at one point goes, that's why I ordered those prenatals, like, they just came in, and Luke goes, I had a couple. Maybe they'll help me. Am I not supposed to? Is it, like, estrogen? Like, I couldn't tell if Luke was kidding.
It's several things. One of them is estrogen, and that will actually lower your sperm count.
Yeah. I'm not, and maybe it, okay. Maybe it's a matter of just like, because like Kristen's 40, and so like it's more difficult and all that stuff. And I'm not trying to like, I find it like interesting that they still aren't pregnant at this point, like in the terms, like in modern day, seemingly.
Yeah.
And so like.
Well, I mean, like you said, Kristen's 40. Like, it's harder after 35.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think, I feel, I don't mean to say this. It also does feel like a storyline. And I'm not trying to act like, it doesn't feel, again, maybe it's because this is such a new relationship. And because, like, again, I'll say it, like, one's in Colorado, one's in LA. It just doesn't seem like they have that.
Yeah.
I just find it so odd that they're having a baby right now to where, like, when these moments are happening, it just, I don't know. Like, there's just an inkling about it that's just, like, odd to me. And I don't want to say that because, like, you know, obviously, I would think that Kristen would be like, yeah, I'm being honest about that.
But now we've said it.
Also, you were confused. As Kristen's talking to Luke, like, he's playing with something in his hand or whatever, and you were like, wait, what the fuck is that? And I think you said it was like a cock ring, like a vibrating cock ring or something?
Yes, it looked like one of those, it's a vibrating little pill-shaped thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That has a cock ring underneath it, but you don't wear it, like, all the way around everything. It's just around your actual dick, and it's supposed to, like, stimulate the clit while you're fucking.
Okay. Like, I don't need you playing with that on camera.
Yeah, like, we know you fuck. Like,
Kristen tells us every chance she can fucking get.
Now, I will say, I didn't get it until he started wiggling his eyebrows at her. And I was like, okay, that's kind of sexy.
Oh, okay, you think... Luke's not my type.
He's not my type either. Well, I mean, he kind of ticks a lot of boxes, sure. But for some reason, it still doesn't... It doesn't get there for me.
Yeah.
But then he made that face at her, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, it's still not completely there for me, but I understand now.
Luke is very... I love how polarized the conversation has been about Luke online. If you like read about like the valley and stuff like that, either people think he's like the most amazing boyfriend that Kristen's ever had and is like one of the best people on the show, or they think he's like an undercover serial killer. Like, it's one of the two always. And like,
I don't get the serial killer vibes from him like I do from Jesse.
Well, yeah, Jesse's more overt.
Yeah.
Luke talks about how they're setting up an appointment with Danny's premarital counselor that he offered, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And then Luke starts to talk about like his like issues of what he's feeling. He's like, yo, how can we figure out how I can have a little bit more of my life from Colorado here? You know, I get like LA LA fatigue. You know that. You know, I'm used to open spaces. I want to fish. Like, I'm trying to make close friends, but it's not the same. And Kristen goes, sorry, what are you saying? And I just wrote, Kristen Empath Doty. It's really hard being an empath. I just take on everyone's emotions. Luke talks about how, like, I still feel like I'm in your apartment. It's like 95% your stuff. Like, it just feels like I'm like, you know, it's not like a joint home, it feels like. And Kristen goes, such in a Kristen way, goes, do you not like my decorations? And Luke goes, no, I'm just saying it doesn't feel like our space. Like,
like, it literally looks the exact same as when he just walked in with nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I love that Kristen does have that manipulative kind of quality. Yeah.
Well, see, I don't even think it's necessarily active manipulation. I think it's literally, she just, that's how she thinks.
Yeah. She says in her confessional, I love Colorado. I love the ranch, but I'm not living there full time. They have to bring in their water. Luke just got put electricity put in. I can't Postmates a damn thing. I rest my case.
And honestly, yeah, fair.
When we were, when we had gotten, I think I talked before where we went to Merlin's parents and we got into just a run of watching like HDTV. We were also, was it there? We were also watching some show where like.
Yeah, it was like some show where they were making homesteads like Alaska or whatever.
And so this guy has to like teach them to like how to get water sources and like how to like, you know, because they're having to like carry. And I was like, that's what it sounded like when Krista was talking about it. And I'm like, oh,
I couldn't
no.
do that. No.
No, that's not
at
okay.
all. No.
We then go to Jasmine, and she's getting lunch with Jax, who, of course, arrives in his golf cart. Does he not have a car? Like, genuinely. That's no, all we see him drive.
He does, but he just drives. And it's like, how far is the valley?
I mean,
if he's driving a golf cart to West Hollywood.
Yeah. It has to be at least, like, some. He can't get on the highway with that.
No.
So... I don't know. Like Jasmine orders a beer or whatever, and Jax orders a Coke, and I just wrote irony is dead. you get it?
Yeah.
There we go. I was hoping.
Yeah, that's good.
They're talking about like the boys and girls night, and Jax is like, the boys night was like more of a therapy session than like a get together. Jasmine's like, I mean, I'm sure Brittany filled you in on all the conversations at girls night. Jax goes, yeah, but she doesn't tell me anything because she knows I have a big mouth. And she's 100% right. Like, I love to gossip, as you will do later this episode. Like,
and in the episode that was on before this.
Right. But that also makes me think, okay, when we get to the whole Kristen element later, Kristen also knows that about Jax.
Yeah.
And so that is like where it gets, where I'm like, oh, okay, Kristen, I don't know if I fully trust your intentions, like I said.
Sure. Things.
I think, because again, I think the great thing about Chris is she knows how to get things out without like always
sure
expressly getting them out. Jasmine goes, I mean, she did mention that the sexual thing was off. She just wants to get that spark back. And Jack goes, and I know she's really insecure about herself. No, that's a weird way to put that. Like, why is she insecure about herself?
Because you keep telling her she's unattractive?
Yeah, that's what Brittany makes it seem like.
Yep.
Jasmine, her confessional, goes, look, men are stupid. Let's keep it real. Like,
also, can I just insert that this is a weird pairing?
Okay, I wasn't going to say it. I was like, why are these two having a solo lunch together?
Right. Like,
I guess, I mean, Jasmine used to work at Sir. I guess that's like, you know, the connect. There is some bit of a friendship connection between the two of them. It just felt weird that it's like, I don't know.
It now that I'm like thinking about it, it almost feels like he's like trying to do some repair work after all the faith shit got brought up.
Oh man, God, we're just into the we're just doing the race stuff again.
Look, like, there's a lot of racism on Bravo.
I can't wait for the comments being like, not everything's about race.
When you're like. Yeah, sure. We're white, but she's not.
I also think it's a matter of like Jax is just if it's for mess, Jax is willing to have a solo scene with anybody.
Right, but again, like I was saying before, it doesn't have to be directly about race for race to be involved.
Sure. Jasmine goes, you know, I think with her, it's more that she wants compliments throughout the day. Like, send her send something dirty to her. Like, send a text. And Jack goes, her love language is my mouth between her legs. And I'm like, ew, too much information. But I will give you credit because at least you go down on your wife.
That's fair. Like, most men don't.
DJ Khaled won't. So, you know, Jasmine goes, maybe some toys. And Jack goes, oh, God, she's got plenty of those. She's probably been using the shit out of them. And then he goes, the amount of batteries we go through is insane. Somewhere Sandoval walks in and goes, hey, God.
Sandoval feeling validated is never something you want.
Here's a gift. Jasmine goes, I really think she just doesn't want to end up like Jesse and Michelle. And Jax goes, that will never, ever happen. It's really great watching this knowing they all break up. It's really great. Like, it just makes it to me like, ha, 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 ha. Okay.
Jeez.
Jax goes, do you think it's Jesse's fault or Michelle's fault? Because he's like, now we can talk about Jesse and Michelle. Jasmine goes, I mean, do you think she's just over him? And Jax goes, he told me when we went to the carnival, if my marriage lasts the next 2 months, I'll be shocked.
Which at least he got that reporting of it true.
Yeah. Seemingly. This was an off-camera conversation,
no,
apparently.
No, it's not.
He doesn't say it during the scene. Jack specifically says, after we left the carnival, he told me this. When the cameras were down. So there is...
Oh, okay, yeah.
But
yeah.
But that sounds like something Jesse would say. I don't think that's off base. Jack then goes...
Oh, wait. No, because doesn't in confessionals later, Jesse correct... the misquote?
Jax corrects it later when Kristen brings it up.
I don't know. I've barely slept since I watched this episode.
Drink your monster. Drink your monster. Jax then goes, can this stay between us? Which I was...
No.
And Jasmine goes, yes. And she goes, okay. Rumor, I was told she's been texting other men. And I was like, okay, great. Jax goes, Kristen told me this about Michelle. And Jasmine goes, is that why she said the whole time that I've been protecting you? Jax goes, look, I'm just worried that Kristen's going to open her mouth and she's literally like a bomb. Like, this is life-altering gossip here, which I just shared on a fucking television show in front of a camera with a fucking mic pack.
Yeah.
Jax, we're not fucking stupid.
Yep.
This is life-altering information that can't get out until the season airs.
Now... this is a situation where I do put some blame on the person who brought it up on camera because this tea was not available out in the zeitgeist.
Sure.
This was private tea.
But that's what I'm talking about before, though. It's like knowing that Jax is this person.
Right.
Why would Kristen tell him that? If not for the purposes, because seemingly she didn't tell it to, if we're meant to be believed, she didn't tell this to anyone else, right?
Sure. But at that point, do you think that that's why Schwartz told Jax about Sandoval wanting Schwartz to move in with him?
Probably.
Like,
unless Schwartz is dumb.
You know,
like you said.
It's like if 1 + 1 = 2, then, and 1 + 2 = 3, then like 1 + 3 = 4. Like, it's, yes.
I can't do math right now.
Like, there's like a progression. So like, you can't act like it's true over here for Kristen and not for everyone else who ever tells him things.
Yes. But there's also a moment later at the fight where I think Kristen, like I said, there's a way in, if you're smart enough with reality television, there is a way in which to get information out without you being the person to like expressly say the information, right?
Yeah.
And I think Kristen knows how to do that. I that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
We go some more scenes. Jax is at his house and he's calling Jason. There's this, like, Jason has an Echo or whatever on his phone, and Jax is convinced it's because he has an Android or something. So it's now, like, we just see the struggle of them, like, trying to figure out how they can have this conversation. Jason's like, do you have WhatsApp? You can call me on WhatsApp. He goes, what's WhatsApp? And he's like, wait, you can call people on Instagram? Like, what the hell is this? And it was clearly a point where our producer was like, because this was clearly, like, Jax is going to call Jason to invite him to this party, and this is going to be the scene to talk about this party. Clearly, a producer was like, call Danny instead. Like, just call Danny. Like, dude, call someone else.
I will say that Apple does actively have a thing in their speakerphone tech that keeps it from echoing back that Androids don't have.
Uh-huh.
Because they have noise cancellation.
So Jax is right all along. God damn it, Jax is right about everything.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying that that's the reason. I'm just saying that that could be why he thought that.
Yeah. But he does call Danny eventually to invite him to this event that he's doing with this hair company that he is aligned with for this like balding treatment thing.
With no echo. I'll just put that in.
Yeah. We see a really quick scene. I don't know why. Like, it's not much in the scene, but it's kind of like, I don't know. It's like depressingly shot for some reason. Michelle takes Isabella to this like play place and it's just her playing with Isabella politely, but it's over top of it is just Michelle clearly in a very fresh confessional. Like, I think this is a newer confessional, talking about the issues with Jesse and the way she's just so like blunt about it. She goes, you know, all Isabella knows is bickering and fighting. I realized that it would be better to raise Isabella to where she could see two people love each other instead of two people always fighting. I don't want her to grow up to think that's normal and that's okay. She's really talking almost like in the present tense as if I have broken up with Jesse already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's again, checked out, fully checked out in this relationship. Danny and Nia are at the house. Two things. Danny, I was giving you a lot of credit last episode, rightfully so, because you did great. Two things I kind of side-eyed. One was he's playing with like the older son, like with a ball or whatever. And at one point he throws the ball like past Nia towards where one of the newborns is laying on the couch, and Nia has to like reflex grab it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, but if that went wrong,
right,
that would have been bad.
Yeah.
Good thing Nia has, like, you know, cat-like reflexes and, like, the mom brain to, like, snatch that. Also, I don't know if you noticed this. Like, he asked his son Asher, the three-year-old, what's daddy's name? And Asher goes, Daniel Bucco. I didn't like that. Because that's clear. Like that's his, like, stage. It's his real name, but it's also his, like, oh, this is my stage name as, like, an aspiring actor, right? I didn't love that.
Sure, but I can also understand why once you get a kid that is old enough to talk, what are the things that you have them memorized in case they get lost? They need to know their parents' phone number, they need to know their address, and maybe a parent's name.
I didn't because think
all
like that
they all that they know is that's mommy or that's daddy. Yeah. That doesn't help someone find that person.
That's a good one. I didn't think about it like that. I thought it just from like an actor brain, like because that's so much his presentation.
That's just the first thing that popped into my mind. It may not be that at all.
Also, I read somewhere that like, maybe I made this up, I don't know, but I feel like I read this somewhere that they're having the newborns, they're already having them do like extra work. Like, you know how like shows that need like babies or whatever for like and particularly like with twins.
Because it lets them be able to swap them out and keep filming.
So I'm like, it feels like, are you training that's the sense I got. It was like, are you training them up to like, you know, I don't know. Jason stops by and Jesse then stops by as well, and they're helping Nia break down some furniture in like one of the baby rooms to like help move stuff. And they're talking about sort of like everything that was happening with like the guys' night and sort of like the discussion. Jesse talks about, you know, I'm working with this coach, and he was talking about ego and the alpha male, and he set me up with this guy who does like plant-based medicine work. He proposed that I do psilocybin and ayahuasca. Danny's kind of like, okay, what about like couples therapy? Like, how about that?
Yeah.
Like,
the thing is that sort of stuff will help, but you have to be actually receptive to what it's going to show you. And Jesse's not there.
That's my thing. It's like, in theory, it can expose, like, I understand like people who have done like the ayahuasca journeys and stuff like that. It exposes certain things and all that. It's just that Jesse's vibe presents a lot like Sandoval's. And I think like, it's when we've had this season of Vanderpump Rules of Sandoval not going to therapy and instead doing these weird fucking like treatment things.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't like take this seriously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then he talks.
It's less the treatment that I'm side eyeing and the person.
Yeah. He, This felt so strange to me because it felt like Jesse was a different person when he was talking about this too. Because he goes, I want to step outside of myself to see my ego on the inside and say, is that the Jesse that alienates people because he can? I know I can use my aggression to shut the whole table up, but it's not empowerment. It's being a monster without making people feel safe. And it was just way too smart.
Like, yeah. Who gave you that line?
It almost, honestly, I had suspicion and I was like, did they film this scene after the dinner fights to make it present as though like, well, he's, because I felt like they were presenting a thing of like, well, he's trying to like get to a better place where he doesn't get aggressive. But then this moment happened with Michelle 2 hours before they came. And therefore that's why he's like spiraling. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
It felt rewriting when we finished the episode.
And that's fair. I can understand that.
Because sometimes people do film stuff like in reverse and stuff like that. So yeah, it can happen. Oh my God. We differ on this scene, but I got to talk about it. We then see Jax in his golf cart again with Brittany. And they're going to the bar for like sort of a walkthrough with the people that the co-owners or the people that are actually contributing money, basically. And I hate giving Jax anything, but Brittany was exhausting in this scene to me. She's in the car going, so who are we meeting today? And Jax goes, Leo and Roger. And Brittany goes, what have they even done though? Jax goes, you're going to see. And she goes, I mean, I want to hear what they're saying and see what decisions have been made without me and, you know, get up to speed. I would just like for them to let me know. And Jax goes, exactly. That's the reason why you're coming. You're being involved. That's the trip, honey. And like, she just keeps going on and on and on about why does anyone talk to me? I mean, I have ideas. Like no one's talking to me. It's just like, no, like, you know, I want to be included. And Jackson's like, okay.
I feel like this part of it, at least, she's just trying to make a scene.
Yeah.
Like they were told, have a conversation about what you're going to do.
And she just goes off the wall.
And she's like, well, I'm having a conversation about what we're about to do. And Jax is giving me brick wall.
Yeah.
So like, of course she's going to look annoying and like irritating by comparison.
Here's the thing. I have questions because the bar is now open. What changes did she make to the bar than what we see?
I don't know.
I know there's the Mamaw's beer cheeses on the menu, but I think that was always the plan.
Yeah.
And so like what I'm just, she keeps saying I have these ideas and then never says them.
Yeah.
Brittany goes, I feel like it's all happening, but I don't even know what's going on. And Jack says, here's the thing with a bar, everything has to move fast because it's costing money. So like,
yeah.
And she goes, I mean, I just got ideas right now, but I feel like nobody's asking me nothing. And Jack's like, and when they arrive, Jack's like, okay, be sure to speak up. And like, you know, don't, you know, if you have ideas, say them. They meet with the GMs. Brittany goes, you know, when would you realistically want me to start like helping with stuff? And Roger goes, this was so stupid. He goes, I mean, you're a girl. We're a bunch of guys doing this. You know, a lot of girls are going to be coming here. It sounds like, what are you girls like in a bar? Like, to do the same thing, like, if you're going, it's a sports bar.
Yeah. What? Huh?
You think that you're going to set up like a mani-pedi station? Like.
That's not what this is.
Oh my God. And Brittany goes, so he could put me in a chat with you guys too, so I can start seeing stuff. And then Roger's like, okay, great. It's like good to be moving forward. And Brittany goes, now that I know that I can help, I mean, Jack's made a thing that I can't keep, you know, I have to keep waiting and stuff. Jack's literally goes, it's so hard to be married sometimes.
I don't want to gloss over the fact that she literally said, I'm glad to be getting involved with this. And the partner was like, well, we wanted you involved the whole time.
Right, but I don't know. Okay, here's the thing. I don't know if the partner is just humoring her. Because at one point he's like, you know Jax, right? Happy wife, happy life, right? It felt like they were humoring her.
Sure, perhaps. But like, it's really shitty to humor her at the expense of Jax.
Yeah, I know. Right. Jax kind of gets embarrassed in this, and that's where I was like, oh, God. They then sit down and talk about things, and Brittany goes, you seem so stressed. Are you all right? And yeah, he looks fucking stressed the fuck out more than normal. He goes, no, I am stressed out. Like, I just didn't know how to manage all this. Like, I don't know how to manage raising a child, raising a family, paying my mortgage, starting a business. And then, okay, Brittany doesn't really, I kind of said this a little bit last week. I'm like, Brittany doesn't really fix things. I understand why. Like, they're in a toxic relationship, and they've been in a toxic relationship from the start. And a lot of it is Jax's fault of what he did in the beginning of the relationship. But I just think, like, because Brittany talks a little nicer doesn't mean, like, there are certain things that she's not doing wrong or are toxic.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, Jax is, like, venting about this. She goes, I mean, we're still trying next month, right? And Jax goes, of course I want more kids, like, one more. And then she goes, like, I mean, we need to have, like, alone time, you know, me and you time. You know, we could take a trip or at least start having date nights. How about that? Give me a little romance. And then Jax, like, looks at Brittany and doesn't say anything. And then she goes, I just want to make you make me feel like the butterflies again. And Jax goes, I think I'm going to start crying. like he had a realization. And it was one of the things where I did feel bad because he's like, I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm drowning with all these financial things and raising the family and all that. And Jax and Brittany's response seemingly from the scene is kind of just like, well, we're going to have a baby though, right? You're going to give me a baby and we're going to have date nights. And Jax is just like, sure. Okay. And he's like bottling it. And I don't love that because I think that's going to explode in a way that's not healthy.
Well, it probably already did, and that's why she left him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they it's not as out there, but it's kind of just as bad as Michelle and Jesse, I think.
Yeah.
It's all there. We then go to Jax's hair loss party at the Mondrian. Schwartz arrives. Again, we're just doing crossovers this whole week. Jax is like, take the hat off, because he still has the blonde hair. Zach, in his confessional, goes, Schwartz is giving me midlife crisis, Ken. I don't know what color you would call that. Like, maybe, like, burnt carrot. Okay, Lego man, you have no place to fucking talk. You want to detach it and change it out? Please. Janet was being such a messy bitch, too. She walks up with Jason because I'm so excited to be celebrating Jax's hair loss. And then as she hugs him, the producers put in a fucking, like, arrow to point out his bald spot, which, again, it wasn't that prominent.
It wasn't even a bald spot. It's a spot that is slightly thinning.
Yeah. Janet says, congratulations on your recent hair loss. We're so happy for you. And Jax goes, thank you. So is my bank account. Jax kind of almost admits what everyone is saying. It's like, he is not losing his hair. He's literally just finding an excuse to, like, make money.
Which... fair.
Sure. Jax does this whole speech for the group. And also, Brittany's mom is there with her mamaw. you know, we love mamaw. Jax is talking about, you know, a couple months ago, my wife and I were doing a photo shoot. I look and I see, like, a little bit of a bald spot. It's probably like a quarter size. So I decided to go out in the garage, get a can of black spray paint, and spray paint the hair. Everyone's like, oh, my God. Like, Nia later has to be like, you were serious with that story, by the way? You weren't, like, joking? He's like, yeah, 100% serious. Fucking moron. Like, you can't
At least go to Walgreens and get one of those hair color sprays.
Yeah. Also, for a photo, if you can't get in time, there's a thing called Photoshop.
Yeah.
Like, they can do that pretty fucking easily, actually.
Yep.
They're all partying and having a good time. Jasmine's talking to Janet by the side, and Jasmine being like, oh yeah, Jax is just so funny with his stories. Janet then goes, how did your lunch go with Jax, and what were you guys talking about? It felt like a producer was like, Janet asked them about this. But I will say, again, I don't believe, some people are convinced now what Jax was saying before about how Janet's like a villain, like an undercover, like, villain in this. Jury's still out for me. I will say, I think she's definitely messy.
Oh yeah.
Like, I think she loves some mess, which I think is why I like her. Like, I would be this person. Like, to, like, probe for information. And she is really good at, like, getting information out and, like, you know, because Jasmine doesn't want to give it immediately. She goes, I mean, I don't feel comfortable repeating a whole conversation I had with Jax out of respect to him. Janet then asks, on a scale of 1 to 10, is it bad? And Jasmine goes, Jesse's going to think it's a 10. And Janet goes, so if he told you something serious about Michelle and Jesse, because she's like, okay, so it's about Michelle and Jesse. Great. Awesome. like, that's one clue.
It's like, Jasmine. Shut up.
Jasmine goes, which, I mean, he doesn't even know if it's true. And Janet goes, I mean, he should know how annoying it is to have bullshit rumors about your marriage out there. Like, putting that it's about that. And Janet goes, this whole threatening thing from Kristen, Jax knows what it is. And Jasmine goes, I mean, Kristen lies a lot, so... And Janet goes, so it's information from Kristen. Got it. Okay, awesome. Like, Janet can fit... Like, Janet really fucking, like... got like three questions into her 20 questions and was like, so I don't know what it is, but I know the basic details of everything. Awesome. Great. Well,
and the thing is that what Janet does is she takes what you said, like goes three steps beyond what you said.
Yeah.
States it as if that's what you just said and waits for your response.
And if your response might be more telling than what she actually is saying.
Because it can either confirm or deny the conclusion she has now come
to. She should be in like the FBI. I know what it is. Jason trained her up because Jason's a lawyer.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Honestly, great get for the show.
What does Janet do?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
She's like in event planning. Is that it?
Maybe.
Somebody's in event planning.
Someone. Also, speaking of that, Janet also revealed on the Vanderpump Rules after show that Jason slept with Sheena at one point.
Wild.
It's like, can you fuckers pick someone else? Out of all, like, Jesus Christ.
Like, there's more than these 20 people in L.A. Yeah. I guarantee you.
L.A.'s a major city.
There's, like, millions of people in L.A. Yeah. Pick another one.
Oh, my God. Then, so, I guess, there's just random other people around the Mondrian, I guess. Like, I guess they have, like, a main event space, but there's, like, other stuff happening. Jackson, Jesse, and I think Luke as well, are by this girl, Gabby, who is selling these, has this like market of like clothes for like Burning Man clothes that are like, you know, like, cause it's like those Billy Porter hats, mm-hmm. and it's like all these like feathery stuff. She's wearing that like, it's very revealing. I'll just say it's like that cross top that like her boobs are like, there's not a lot of coverage and she's like got a really, really short skirt on. So she's mm-hmm. very like, you know, out there. Jesse is very obviously flirting with her, like just straight, like it's not even subtle to me. He goes, is this your Burning Man outfit? And Gabby goes, I mean, this is like my everyday outfit. And Jesse goes, oh my God, like, because it's Jax literally goes, get me out of here, and puts like blinders on his eyes. Because here's the Jack, and Jax isn't perfect here as well, but at least he's like, oh God, Jesse, like he's doing the like, I'm not engaging, but I'm performatively not engaging to where I'm kind of am still engaging. Jesse's right. Just engaging.
Right.
It's like, my God, man, you're on camera. Like, you're not divorced yet.
At all.
Like, it's a mess. Gabby goes, what's your name again? And he goes, Jesse, nice to meet you. Are you going to Burning Man? Like, for real? Like, again, just like, for what reason?
Yeah.
They put on these, like I said, those Billy Porter hats and the jacket. Jesse at one point goes, should I take, like, the shirt off?
What are you doing?
Wild. The audacity. We can't, I mean, it's no excuse because, again, like I said, they're not divorced. We find out later that something has happened before this.
Right.
That is like coloring what Jesse is doing. So, you know. They go then onto the main dance floor to like show everybody like their looks and stuff like that. Jesse then starts dancing with Meemaw. They fucking like, they put Meemaw in the hat and they're dancing and all that stuff. And everyone's like, oh yeah, get it, Meemaw. Michelle goes, have him.
Wow.
The way I shuddered when she said that.
Wow.
There are so many stuff that it's just like uncomfortable after uncomfortable after uncomfortable, like over and over and over again. Jesse makes a comment of like, that's the most action I've had in like 2 years, audibly to this group of people. They're just digging at each other. They hate each other.
I can't.
At least, I mean, Michelle says of like, you know, not having Isabella see the fighting, but like, Jesus Christ, like, you know, it's a mess.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, they are so like openly sniping at each other and it's just, yeah.
So this happens. Like, Jax is like, okay, guys, we're going to go up and get dinner because he has like a seated dinner for them as well. Jesse then goes to take the clothes back to Gabby at the market and is still flirting with this Gabby girl. And then as he's like flirting with her, you see Michelle walking towards them from behind. And I was like, oh, no. Like, it was like something out of a scary movie.
I almost wanted to overlay like the Jaws music over top of it.
Yeah. Michelle walks up and goes, what's going on? Jesse goes, It's like a Burning Man pop-up. Like this is her brand. Like, but it's for like Burning Man. Like that's Burning Man's like what, in another like week or two? And Michelle goes, "Are you going to Burning Man?" And Jesse goes, "No." Michelle goes, "Should we head down to dinner? I think we should." Oh man, Michelle is cold as fuck. And like she is. Again, we were theorizing that like some of the stuff towards Kristen that Michelle was exhibiting was like fed off from Jesse.
Yeah,
maybe that is still the case. I actually think Michelle has a very cold center to her.
I think you can't grow a seed that wasn't already planted.
Yup. Say that part.
I feel like he's only able to develop personality traits that already existed.
Yeah. She has had this in her.
Yeah.
There's always been the potential. Okay. Everyone then goes up to sit down for dinner. Michelle literally again, oh my God, again goes, "It's a little like chilly in here." And Jax goes, "Would you like my jacket?" And gives Michelle his jacket when Jesse is sitting right fucking there in a fucking suit jacket.
And then he takes his jacket off and puts it on the back of his chair.
Jason makes a comment like, that's a shot against your manhood right there. Isn't it funny? And Jesse's like so sternly serious about it. It's like, well, that's your fucking fault. Take your fucking jacket off. Like, Michelle turned this is where it's just from here on out, we're in uncomfortable utopia. We're in like cringe village. Like it's crazy.
Cringe village.
I was trying to be alliterative. It's whatever. Michelle goes, turns him and goes, "You look too serious." And Jesse goes, "That's okay. I look how I look." And then this is when Jesse in his confessional reveals, "I haven't been feeling really great all day. Because what nobody knows is 2 hours before I left for the Mondrian, I had an hour session with Scott where I had this realization that my marriage might be over. Michelle's talking about leaving me. I mean, it sucks." And like, so he, something like switched in him. So now he is just in like the, I don't give a fuck mood.
Yeah.
Like, and it's great TV, but uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's a fucking mess. Janet goes, "Jax, when does the bar open?" And Jax is like, "Okay, so it's not officially opening. Like, it's not official yet, but we are going to have to start for football season. I got to get it open for football season. Like, it's not totally done the way that Brittany wants." And Brittany goes, "It's not done at all." That's not true. Like, Jax is like, "We have the TVs and we have, like, all this, like, all the chairs and the table, all the stuff is set up where you could open it."
Yeah, like, what do you mean it's not okay?
It's not like there's like no walls, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Jack Slater goes, "I'm not gonna do what Schwartz and Sandoval did, who sat on their asses for 4 months." I'm like, again,
okay, that's correct. Fair, but also you have a menu, you have like staff. What are we doing? Why are we waiting?
Right. Michelle again turns to Jesse and goes, "You're very quiet." And Jesse goes, "I have nothing to say." Like, ooh, just don't, like, honestly, don't even look at each other. You guys are maybe sit at different parts of the table even. Who knows? Like, something else. Jesse then gets up for a second, like, either go to the bathroom or be annoyed or do some coke. I don't fucking know. just theorizing. Jax asks Michelle, like, "Why is he in such a bad mood?" And Michelle goes, "I don't know." I don't know if you caught this. It made me laugh so much on the rewatch. Jax then goes, "Anyone want a shot of tequila?" And then Brittany goes, "Yeah, baby!"
I completely missed that.
She's like, Brittany's blitzed. And like, again, troubling with her drinking, like with last episode, but just like, oh man. Jesse, again, it's just like, why are we talking to each other like this? Jesse comes back to the table and Michelle goes, "Everybody wants to know what the hell is wrong with you and to wake up." Like, why are you saying it like that?
Yeah, I have no, that, why? That makes no sense.
Michelle goes, "Nobody knows the quiet Jesse." And Jesse goes, "Why don't you propose something that will actually keep me awake?"
Wow.
Like, and Brittany gets offended, goes, "Jesse, don't act like that." Kristen goes, "How rude are you? You were at Jax's dinner." Kristen was already, I will say this, that wasn't that rude to where Kristen had to be like, "How rude are you?" Like, she's starting.
Yeah.
And I get it because Jesse sucks, but like,
yeah, Jesse's definitely one of those people that you hate to the point of, why are you breathing?
Yeah.
Can you shut up with your breathing?
And now everyone, like, there's multiple people talking now back and forth about this, and like, it's just getting crazy. Jesse then again decides to boom, slam his hand on the table. And then Larry goes, here we go again, baby. Like, he's getting hyped by it. Kristen's getting annoyed. She turns to Luke and goes, I'm ready to go. She goes, I'm not doing this. She's saying this not to Luke. She's saying this to everyone. She goes, I'm not doing this again. It's not funny. It's not cute. You're a father. You're a husband. You're a grown-ass old man.
Honestly, though, she's not wrong.
Yeah, it's aggressive. She calls him in the confessional Jesse the Ape, which it's just like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. It's like how he just described it at Nia's house, where it's like, you're making people feel uncomfortable right now.
Yeah.
And I was kind of confused. We'll get to it. Kristen is starting to whisper to Luke, I don't know why we keep sitting at these dinner tables where nobody can hear a damn thing. Luke was also slightly getting annoyed by Kristen at points. I don't know if you noticed, because he goes like, I mean, that's what happens when multiple people have conversations. And Kristen goes, he's so disrespectful and so disgusting. He's such a fucking douche. His own wife calls him a douche.
Well,
not probably not wrong. But then she goes, can you imagine if I called you a douchebag? And Luke goes, I mean, you have. So Kristen goes, I've never called you a douchebag ever. which is, I guarantee you Kristen has.
Twice a week.
Luke goes, I'm just saying the truth. Kristen goes, are you joking right now? Like, getting upset. Kristen goes, all right, I'm the only sober one other than Nia, so I can't. I also don't think that's true. I think I'm not positive. I think Kristen had some wine. I'm the only sober person right now.
Well, I mean, but if she had like half a glass of wine or something, that's not enough to call her not sober.
Sure. Jasmine goes, Kristen, what's going on? Because she notices something happening. And Kristen goes, I would like to politely excuse myself.
Which, fair.
Michelle goes, Kristen, it's not related to you. And Kristen goes, I don't care, Michelle. It's fucking abusive and it's shitty. And Jana goes, abusive? Okay. And then Jasmine says in her confessional that Kristen has this like offensive bingo card of like racist, Republican, now saying that Jesse's abusive. I was kind of, as much as I like Jana and Jasmine, I was like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? He is abusive.
Literally.
Even both in the sense of, I believe the slamming the hand on the table is an abusive thing. He's already put his hand in Michelle's face like dinners ago. But also, I'm pretty sure this confessional was filmed after what happens at the end, right?
Right.
So, and I'm also confused of what they saw.
Certainly, not much.
That's the thing.
Because so, Jax, we'll get to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. About Jack, what Jack should have saw and like
should have done.
Yeah, exactly. Jesse goes, Kristen, you're not the one to say anything about rude. Okay. Just calm down. And Kristen's like, no, I'm going. Like, I'm done with this. Gets up. And the best part is Zach is going, Kristen, like trying to get her to sit down. Nia, oh my god, the best part also, again is, I guess, a trend. This was like at the last dinner. Danny has his hand up like he's a child trying to ask a question. Danny's also clearly drunk. Nia goes, put your hand down. Put your hand down. You don't need to contribute. You don't need to say a comment. And Danny goes, I want a comment. He's soaring. He's fucking drunk. Nia's like, get out. Stay out of it.
Me. My internal struggle.
But I love, like, Nia's like a normal person being like, no, this isn't going to help things. And Danny's like, no, I'm on reality TV. Like,
it's amazing. No, I like the drama.
Kristen then leaves. Kristen leaves, right?
Right.
To cool down. Luke is still there. This I thought was wild, because Jesse then goes, I have a conversation. Has anyone been to Burning Man? Does anyone want to go? And Jasmine goes, me, because it's probably better than this, and which is funny. But they don't know why he's bringing up Burning Man. Michelle knows why he's bringing up Burning Man. That is nasty.
I will say Jax probably knows why he brought up Burning Man.
Right. Jesse goes, it seems very salty, like my balls. He's like losing it. Michelle goes, stop. Jesse goes, I'm trying to change the subject. Michelle goes, I know, but just stop talking. Jesse goes, I didn't want to fucking talk, and I didn't want to be here. And then I started talking, and you can't tell me to stop talking. And Michelle goes, okay, then talk. And then Jesse gets up and leaves himself, because now he's pissed. It's like, it's like every, like, this is a, like, there is a marriage counselor in the world watching this show being like, oh my God, I can be making so much money right now. Like, Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I don't know if they would want to wade into this bullshit.
Yeah. So Jesse gets up to leave. We don't see what's happening in the hallway. We only hear things from like clearly the mics or whatever. I think this is either before or right as Jesse is coming out into the hallway. A producer is there with Kristen, and the producer goes, come on, calm down. And Kristen goes, what do you mean calm down? He's acting like a fucking psycho. He's fucking banging his hands on the table again. This is turning into trash. He's a really horrific human, but I don't want to out their whole fucking marriage and everything that I know about it. And I won't do it. This is, again, what I'm saying. Kristen knows she's mic'd. Kristen knows they can use this audio.
Well, and she also knows that she's tempting a producer.
Right. And it's like a conversation with producer about bringing something up.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, what are we doing? But either, through the conversation or either that, like towards the end of it, Jesse clearly comes up. And Jesse goes, if you bring out any skeletons that I don't already know about my wife, I will fucking bury you. It's like very like threatening.
Again, it is more about the image and less about the actual transgression.
Right. Michelle then gets up. I don't know why Michelle. I don't know if she heard something. She gets up to join them as well. Kristen telling Jesse, I would never ever do that to you and your family. And Jesse goes, yes, because you're fucking irrelevant. You're so fucking irrelevant. Like getting louder at Kristen. Luke clearly hears this. Luke then gets up to go outside.
Ugh.
And follow him out. And then Luke, he doesn't push Jesse, but he has Jesse by the chest and sort of like pushes him back away from Kristen. Like, and like sort of like to move out of the way. Michelle goes, don't fucking touch my husband. Jesse goes, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Luke? Kristen goes, do you know what he just did to me? Like to Michelle. And Michelle goes, he didn't do anything to you. Don't start. Kristen goes, you weren't here. Michelle goes, okay, so what did he do now? What are you going to add to my life now, Kristen? And Kristen goes, it's me protecting you. And Michelle then gets in Kristen's face and goes, stop with the fucking protecting. Stop it.
Oh, you maybe should have left that one back in your purse somewhere.
Yeah. Kristen goes, oh, so you want me to stop protecting you? And Michelle goes, I want you to shut the fuck up.
So is it, do you want me to protect you or not? Because if I shut the fuck up, that's protecting you.
Right. And she goes, oh, fine. You want me to stop protecting you? Okay. Like, it's just like, oh, it's, and Kristen, there's a moment where Kristen smiles slightly when Michelle yells at her, where it's almost, I don't know what the smile was. It could be whatever, but it's just like, this is like,
I feel like it was a, oh, the gloves are coming off, bitch.
Yeah. Michelle goes, do you know what you have done to my life and my marriage and my daughter? Look at what you're doing to us. It's like, that's not Kristen.
I'm pretty sure y'all did that to yourselves.
Yeah. And then Jesse's going off onto Luke about like, she's saying she has secrets or whatever. This was so odd. They cut to Michelle's confessional. The producer goes, tell me about these secrets. And she goes, what can I say? Long pause. I no longer understand Kristen. That's not an answer to anything. What?
At all.
Like, what does that mean? Jesse then goes, if you get involved with my family, I will bury you. And then Luke is trying to like get Kristen out of there at a certain point. As he's doing that, Kristen goes, you don't know what your husband's saying about you behind your back. Like, starting it, and Michelle goes, my husband's saying what? What's my husband saying? Kristen goes, leans in and goes, your husband said he's going to divorce you within 2 months. Jesse goes, I did not ever say that. And Jack says to the confessional, well, Kristen's actually got that backwards. It's the other way around. It's that Michelle says that she's going to divorce Jesse within 2 months.
Yes.
Which might be, I don't know, like, okay. But also, like, okay, when was the source of that information? Like, was it Jax that told Michelle? Or, yeah, well, it had to have been. Like, it was, Jax said it. So Jax told Kristen this. Kristen told Jax other shit, clearly. So they're both in this mess, right?
Or Jasmine took it to her.
Man, oh, that's a good point.
Because, like, Jasmine's already been in the middle of a telephone line.
Yeah. But there was something about when Jesse was like, I did not ever say that. It was almost in the tone of, like, did I say that? Like he was trying to remember.
Yeah.
Michelle goes, who said that my husband said that? And then Jesse leans in and goes, yeah, who said that, you fucking lying, cheating fuck? You better, he tells Luke, you better get her in check because I swear to God. And like,
can we stop acting like men have control over their wives or should have control over their wives and telling them to check their what?
There's a, okay, but also there's a Luke then goes, or what, are you going to lay hands on her? Rightfully, because it's like it really feels like that at this point. Brittany has then now come up and is like now trying to get them out, like get in the middle of them, right, to try to like separate things. For Brittany to do that, Jax at the very least leaned out the door to listen. We see that, but then he goes back in the room with the dinner, but he lets Brittany go out there. That frustrated the fuck out of me, especially with what happens. Jack is trying to hold Jesse back and goes, "Stop, stop!" with his like wide eyes.
Jeez.
There's some separation, so it's like Zach. It's like Zach, Michelle, Kristen arguing with each other, Brittany, and then Luke, right?
And there's also a producer in there in the middle of that.
I think the producer comes out right in the end, maybe. But then, so there's like four people in between Luke and Jesse. Jesse's like walking one way. Luke then goes, your problem's with your wife. Talk to your wife. Jesse then charges towards Luke. What the fuck did you say? And shoves past that, like shoves Zach.
Well, the reason I say that there's a producer, there's someone in all black and a black cap that's facing away from him as he's charging through.
Right, but there's also another producer who's like, he's like a black guy that's in like a blue shirt.
Oh, I missed him.
I think that's the one you were talking about. I think it was a cameraman.
Okay, like, that might have been a cameraman.
Yeah.
But there's a cameraman. So he charges through Zach. Like, knocks Zach over completely.
And Zach's like, ugh!
Shoves past the cameraman on the cameraman's right.
He's lunging towards Luke, but in the process of doing that,
knocks both Brittany and Michelle against the wall.
Yeah, Brittany is like, and Brittany has to shove him back.
Yeah.
Be like, don't fucking, like, it was wild.
What?
And that's the thing. Where the fuck was Jax? I don't care how close we are. You're not shoving my wife.
Yeah. There will be two hits. Me hitting you, you hitting the ground.
Yeah.
That is how this works from now on out.
I had heart palpitations when Jesse.
Oh, yeah.
It was a rage that I have not seen in a long time on Bravo.
Yeah.
The producers are like getting Jesse away, like getting him away. Like, Kristen's like, is everyone okay? Like, she checks on Michelle, too. Michelle goes, okay, everyone get in here right now in the room where the dinner's happening. I'm going to talk. Get in the room. I don't know what she was going to do, by the way. Luke and Kristen say, fuck this, and start leaving the other way, right? They're done with this. Luke is ranting. He goes, I'm not going to drop it to everybody, but I'll say the fucking truth. I don't care. The truth about their fucking relationship. Like, ranting. Like, he's hyped up. Kristen, the confessional, goes, this totally sucks. I'm still being a good friend to Michelle, and I'm still holding all of her secrets. But you aren't, though. You are. Like,
you're dropping breadcrumbs.
Right.
And you clearly, at this point...
You haven't dropped the big one yet, but...
No, but you have clearly already, at this point, told Luke, who can hold on to secrets about as well as you can, and Jax, who is worse at it than both of you combined.
So... If you're the vault, it's kind of, you might need to tighten those bolts.
A little bit.
They're in like the lobby, like Luke and Kristen are in like the lobby area or like by the elevators or something. Luke is going off still. He goes, they're both trash. Jesse's clearly a narcissistic asshole and she wouldn't even have a conversation with him. It's clearly both of them. Neither of them are all in by any means. And then Kristen is just staring as he's talking and then just goes, because she had a fucking boyfriend for a year. There, we all said it. Now she's protecting him and not me.
Wow.
Jesus, Kristen. Fuck. And then Kristen says her confessional. About a year ago, Michelle and Jesse were very unhappy. Michelle had a guy, and she was seeing him. They were hanging out. I wasn't against any of this because I think Jesse's a piece of shit. Like,
Well,
and so Michelle doesn't know this, right? And that Kristen just spilled on this because it's just a Luke and a camera.
Right.
And Michelle's just in the room being like, I would like to speak, please. Can I please speak to all the other people? And then Kristen's, they cut back to Kristen and Luke, and Kristen goes, I didn't sign up for all this all over again just to go through this again. I'd rather be on Vanderpump Rules. And like fucking walks off.
Which I... For her to say that is wild.
Yeah, and that's how they end the fight. They end with a massive to be continued.
I personally cannot wait for next Tuesday.
If you are not watching The Valley because of any hangups or like any like, oh God, fucking watch it.
It's so good.
It's so fucking good. I was on the edge of my seat. Fantastic stuff.
All righty, let's get into these tops and bottoms. It has been a hectic week. We've got Vanderpump Villa, Vanderpump Rules, and The Valley.
So many I'll start with my top. Well, no, actually, no. Let me start with my bottom because it relates to my top. Both of them are from Villa.
Oh.
My bottom, I'm going to give it to... I was really disappointed in Telly.
Yeah.
Telly, I didn't think she had that in her, and I was kind of like, oh, this sucks. Like, you kind of, yeah. You're kind of just also being Hannah's puppet in a way. Like, you're like, Hannah's like allowing you to take the brunt of things in many ways and do like the big, like, carrying of that.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's just not what I expected from her, and I wish she had more of a backbone. And obviously, like, the sort of like making comments about Gabriella's looks was just not cute.
Yeah.
In many ways. My top for this week, I'm giving to Emily and Grace. I'm giving them a joint top because underrated stars of Vanderpump Villa. It's quiet in parts, like don't have to be front facing all the time, but when they're there, they're fucking great.
And they give great confessionals.
Great fucking confessionals. They take it to them like they didn't flinch with Hannah, and I think that also allowed Hannah to look even stupider than she already was. Mm-hmm. Like they literally like smiled in her face at how stupid she is, and that takes power. Yeah, I just really like them. I thought they are underappreciated gems on this show. What about you, babe? What are your tops and bottoms? I think I know your bottom.
I mean, it's gotta be the violent asshole.
Yeah, kind of.
It's Jesse. And the thing is that I think it was just last week when I gave my bottom to Michelle because I wanted to let Jesse cook.
Oh, he cooked.
Oh, bitch overcooked.
It burnt.
He burnt. Like, exploded all over the inside of the oven. It's a problem. And now you got to scrub it out. It's like burnt, crispy bits. It's not good.
No.
So it's just, like, it very rarely do things escalate to this point. And it, like you said, it was riveting television. But holy fuck is that toxic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I just... cannot, like, the fact that he, like, Zach, I don't give a shit, but like,
oh, poor Zach.
The fact, well, I mean, but the fact that he like barreled through Brittany and his own fucking wife.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, dude.
Yeah. Unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Fuck you. Okay. My top for the week is going to be Sheena.
Okay.
Mainly because, look, Sheena and Lala both have been super flip-floppy this whole season, but this episode, Sheena seemed to be waking up on the right side of the bed. And when Sandoval came after her, she didn't flinch.
Mm-hmm.
She took it to him like I haven't seen her take it to someone in a while.
Yeah.
Like she can do that, but she doesn't typically go fully there. And also, like, she was just really great when she was talking with Brock on that date, like just trying to reassure him and you can tell that like the difference between Sheena and Brock and like the other toxic couples that we've been talking about is that I can truly see that they do love each other and that they are trying to make things work.
I think that's true, yeah.
And that they really are concerned about each other's well-beings. And I don't feel like that's necessarily true for, like, Jax and Brittany or Michelle and Jesse. I don't think that they really necessarily give a shit about each other.
No.
at least not in the way that these two do. So I'm actually want to root for their success, you know, in a way that I don't really for anyone else. You just kind of have to, every once in a while, when people get things right in the midst of them fucking up, you got to give them credit for, like, at the very least, standing up for themselves in the face of this massive pile of shit. Hey, thanks for tuning into this episode of A Gay and His Envy.
Join us next time for more of our recaps and hot takes. And be sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you are listening. And check us out on our social media at A Gay and His Envy on all the platforms.
A special shout out to Shane Ivers, who wrote Pulsar, the song we use for our theme.
I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin. And we're out.
This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com.